live. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmis, 6 to 9 Central, every Sunday following the Alex Jones program. Just a ton of news to cover. We're going to take your calls beginning at the 20 after marker. But so much on the table. I know that we've been focusing on Anthony Michael Hilton and his 17 aliases and privatized military merc forces being trained in a Montana jail that's empty at the moment. But we haven't really focused on a lot of the other news out there that is just so important, such as the fact that they are now admitting a 9.8% unemployment rate, and it's much, much higher. Meanwhile, Zolik is saying that the World Bank could run out of money within 12 months. You talk to somebody like Tarpley, and he'll tell you they've already run out of money. But this is the headline out of the Telegraph. The World Bank is close to running out of money. Its president, Robert Zolik, has disclosed the bank, whose job it is to support low-income countries, has had to hand out so much cash in the wake of the financial crisis that its resources could run dry within 12 months. And what this is really about, again, is a consolidation of power. A consolidation of power. They're not broke. Well, I guess they are broke because it's a fiat currency and it's meaningless anyway. But what this is really about is World Bank, IMF, Federal Reserve, new powers, easing you into yet another stimulus package as they jack up the taxes and try to pass legislation on a carbon tax while guilting you into thinking you're the reason that the earth is warming. And it's not even warming anymore. Remember, it's climate change. And, you know, I've seen a lot of comments on some of the YouTube videos I've been doing that have been posted when I host Alex's show or my show. Oh, global warming's going to kill us. Burmis is so naive. We're in a cooling trend right now. And like some of the other commentators have pointed out, are we the ones melting the ice caps on Mars? Or are we the ones creating the solar flares and the extra heat on the sun? Of course we're not. It's a bunch of Johnny nonsense. And when I was in school, it wasn't CO2 that was the enemy. It was chlorofluorocarbons, CFCs. Remember hairspray? Hairspray's going to kill us all. We need to stop. We need to stop spray paint. But now they figured a way to package it to the American public to guilt them into saying, well, maybe I shouldn't have that second child. And I don't deserve two cars. And yes, I am producing too much garbage. And they're indoctrinating the children with all sorts of online games and propaganda in the schools. So we're going to hit that up. We're going to talk about Tony Blair to become the first EU president. That's the European Union, as the Lisbon Treaty was passed. Doesn't matter if Ireland doesn't want to be a part of it. They narrowly defeated it a little over a year ago. No, it has been passed now. They will be absorbed into the European Union, like it or not. Like it or not. Here's the headline out of the Times Online. Tony Blair, the EU president, no one really wants. The reluctant vote in favor for further European integration by the Irish this week may usher Tony Blair into a new role as head of the European Union, despite most of Europe being reluctant to have him. The former prime minister is leading candidate to become the European Union president for a want of alternatives rather than any enthusiasm. And remember, Blair promoted another pro-globalization, pro-quote-unquote new world order candidate in Gordon Brown. Gordon Brown was never elected as the UK Prime Minister. He was given the job by Mr. Blair. That puts two more globalists in power in Europe in very influential positions. And of course, Barack Obama became the first sitting president to head up the UN Security Council. We're also going to get in some big internet news. And again, this falls into globalization. US relinquishes control of the internet. It's about global governance. It's about coming together as one under this quote-unquote new world order. I'm Jason Burmis. It's the Info Warrior. Check us out over at InfoWars.com and streaming live at PrisonPlanet.tv.
No one knows who gave the orders. No one asks about the crime. No one looks behind the curtain. No one questions why. The only time we got is right about now. I cross my heart, I take the vow, I'll never turn, I'll never bend. I'm with you now until the end.
As the push for a more global society continues, the United States has now relinquished control of the internet. ICANN ends agreement with the U.S. government. Move will give other countries a prominent internet role. And as bad as it is here in this country, the censorship that takes place in China and other nations on the internet is deplorable. It's disgusting. It's disturbing. And it's coming home to roost. All these things are hitting a crescendo point. You would have to be blind, deaf, and dumb to not understand. With all the headlines, especially talking about new economic orders and new world orders, that this is indeed about globalization. Customers surf the web at an internet cafe in Beijing. ICANN, the body that oversees web addresses, has ended its agreement with the U.S. After complaints about American dominance of the internet and growing disquiet in some parts of the world, Washington has said it will relinquish some of the control over the way the network is run and allow foreign governments more of a say in the future system. ICANN, the official body that ultimately controls the development of the internet, thanks to its oversight of web addresses such as .com, .net, and .org, said today that it was ending its agreement with the U.S. government. The deal, part of the contract negotiated with the U.S. Department of Commerce, effectively pushes California-based ICANN towards a new status as an international body. Everything is becoming an international body for global governance. It's a play on words. With greater representation from companies and governments around the globe. Companies and governments. Because this is a corporatocracy, a technopoly. ICANN had previously been operating under the auspices of the American government, which had control of the net thanks to its initial role in developing the underlying technologies used for connecting computers together. But now we're going to come together with an international body. I don't know about you, but I don't want other nations that have heavy censorship laws having a say on what I can post on the web. And having a say on whether I can be prosecuted for putting up a certain website or an idea. And I've got this story out of Venezuela for all you Chavez lovers that just can't get enough of socialism and dictatorships. Venezuela to outlaw violent video games and toys. Now, who decides what's a violent video game or what's a violent toy? This is insanity. I'm all for having a rating system. I'm all for having parents get involved. But when you're going to ban Grand Theft Auto or Mortal Kombat because, you know, it's the right thing to do. Chavez is a good guy. He's going to help the citizens. It's pure insanity.
You want my take on this?
I do.
You're getting a Texas accent, Burmese.
Oh, like, don't,
I do.
Don't tell me that.
Hell yeah, boy.
So, Jones, tell us, what's your take on this?
I meant to cover that today. I'm glad you're covering it. Doesn't Tony Blair look like a total weasel in that picture?
Oh, a big-time weasel.
Side issue. No, Chavez is smart. Video games, it has been proven, do dehumanize. That's why people, just from television in the 1950s, seeing simulated murder, people would see blood drip out of somebody's mouth and get upset. Not that they were wimps. It was that they actually associated that as real, so it upset them. Now people don't care when they see humans being killed, but if a dog, they see a dog get killed. Remember the Marine killing the puppy? People got so upset. But if they see him killing Iraqi kids for fun, they don't get upset. Psychologically, they've lost their capability to be upset seeing humans die. Video games take that a step further, seeing the simulated murders on TV. So whereas it is very dangerous, and it brings your level to an even lower level of brainwaves in an alpha state than television, I believe it's people's rights to be wireheads and to become brain damaged and to go into an oxygen-starved area. But see, he's doing this. He's already shut down a bunch of his opposition to make censorship sound cool. So by censoring and controlling content at that level, he can then now expand it out into other areas. So that's what he's doing, is setting the precedent with something that sounds reasonable.
Bottom line is, Alex,
by the way, congratulations on the InfoWarrior when you were covering for me on Friday, having Peter Del Scott in. I heard that was a good interview.
Oh, it was excellent. I had a great time
there
doing it.
There he is, right there on
Oh, yeah. Look at that.
The Info Warrior.
Yeah, if anybody missed that, that's up on YouTube. And obviously, we're going to have the full thing over at prisonplanet.tv. Did an hour and 40-minute interview for Michael.
Hey, that's a good idea, because we keep doing all these incredible interviews. We need to take all these interviews and upload them up for the members up there.
Yeah, because, you know, some people don't want to go through the entire 3 or 4 hour show that you and I broadcast. And just some of these interviews, especially the in-studio ones, though we've taken
it
to the next level.
Well, it is up on prisonplanet.tv, the live interview, but I'm at the tapes. Because you also, you know, we had him here for your film. But look, I'm going to get out of here, Burmese. Just remember, it's good they're banning babysitting. No more free association. You can't have the neighbor kids over for even breakfast now. Mm. They're banning $50 million fines for garage sales. It's all good. They're banning homeschooling in some states, too.
And when you say things like that, you know, people don't understand how serious CPS is. I've got to look in my stack here. But fewer face lockout for failing to get vaccination. Now, these are mandatory vaccinations for school kids in Texas.
It's all color of lie law.
Exactly. But what they're trying to do here is saying, well, at some point, even with the waiver forms, if your kid's not here, if we're not letting them come to school, they'll become unexcused absences. And if you get 10 of these unexcused absences, all of a sudden you're truant. And when you're truant, we have to call CPS. So you're going to get a visit and you're going to have your child possibly taken away from you. I know there's no mandatory vaccinations except for when I read it out of the Abilene Online. As hours passed Wednesday, and this is from September 30th, the number of kindergartners and seventh graders in Abilene Independent School District and Wiley ISD still in need of mandatory vaccinations continue to dwindle because they intimidate the parents. They say you have to take this. Kindergartners, 5-year-olds, you have to take the shot. Consequently, fewer students faced being turned away from school today for failing to meet new state vaccination guidelines for kindergarten and seventh grade students. The Texas Department of Health had set today as the deadline for student to be in compliance. That word compliance, you hear that from law enforcement a lot. Get in compliance, boy. It's ridiculous. It's awful. Students in those grades could be allowed in classrooms today, however, if they have received exemptions for medical, religious, and conscientious reasons. See, here they admit, okay, there are exemptions, but we're still going to intimidate the hell out of you. Roughly 250 AISD students in those grades, down from more than 400 on Friday. So within 4 days, they got another 150 people to be in compliance, and 30 Wiley ISD students in 2 grades, down from 45, lacked the appropriate vaccinations as of late Wednesday afternoon. The students will not be allowed back to school until their records are up to date, saying your child isn't entitled to an education if he doesn't take the mercury, if he doesn't take the formaldehyde, if he doesn't take the squalene. Parents of students without proper immunizations in Abilene and Wiley will be called if the students arrive at school unattended. Wiley Superintendent Joey Light said students absent proper immunizations will be required to wait for their parents in the library. In Abilene, Perkins said students likely will wait in the school clinic. See, you're treated, you're degraded, you're dehumanized. You're made fun of. Oh, look at the weird kid who didn't take the shot. He can't play with everybody else. Don't listen to him. His parents are nutso. At this time, AISD is considering this an excused absence for now. They will be allowed to make up their work if they have assignments. They could certainly work on them at home. If an individual case becomes extended, here's the key, campuses would handle this as they would any absence. So as it gets more extended, all of a sudden it's not an excused absence. And if you have 10 unexcused absences, oh, you're truant. And that's the next paragraph. One potential problem for students without required immunizations, Perkins said, is a Texas Education Agency prohibition against missing 10 school days during a semester and not receiving credit because of it. So they're not only saying you're truant, but you'll have to repeat the grade. And that's only 10 days. 10 days! A little over a week. There were times in my school year, I missed 10 days. I still managed to make the honor roll. I still managed to pass everything. By the time I was in my senior year, folks, let me tell you what my schedule was like. I had 4 separate art classes, 2 gyms, 2 lunches, and I only had to take 2 courses, and one of them was a college course, which I took out of SUNY Albany that was offered at my high school. So by the time I was 17 years old, because I graduated when I was 17 years old, I only needed 2 credits, and they still made me, they wouldn't let me take it in the summer class. They still made me come my senior year. And it was fun. I mean, obviously, I loved art. I chose graphics as a profession before I got into filmmaking and doing this radio show / prisonplanet.tv show. But give me 10 school absences. I think my senior year, too, I missed more than 10 days. There wasn't a big reason to go. And for them to intimidate kids like this and then say, remember, there are no forced vaccinations. This sounds like a forced vaccination program to me. And then they come out openly say, yes, all the military will have to take the shot as well. It's mandatory. All National Guard members, members of the Defense Department, everybody in the Army and Navy, you will, Air Force, you will be required to take the shot. And another vaccination news, a Supreme Court ruling basically told, I think it was 8 soldiers who stood up against this mandatory anthrax vaccination they're trying to bring into the military. They said, look, we're not taking this thing. This is dangerous. They said, no, you're going to take it. Why are they trying to force us into taking shots? Well, one, it's big business. Number two, it's in many cases a live cancer virus and a slow, soft kill weapon. And again, this girl who dies and the media hypes it up all of a sudden in the very beginning. It's not talked about in the United States, but the Telegraph and the Guardian are like, man, it looks like this girl did die from the shot. I mean, she died 2 hours after she took it. But then U.S. News and World Report comes in and they say, no, that's not the case. The shot is delicious and nutritious. Please take it. And then they try to blame it on a tumor in her chest. Now, granted, that malignant tumor in her chest would have been a problem, but would she have died 2 hours after the shot? Sounds like a little more than a coincidence to me. We'll be taking your calls on the other side, 888-201-2244 or 512-646-1776. I am Jason Burmes. This is the Info Warrior. Back after this, InfoWars.com, PrisonPlanet.tv.
It will creep. It starts when you're always afraid. Step out of line, the man come and take
you. You know, that's why we can't be paranoid. That's why we can't live in fear. But we have to be smart. We have to read and see what's going on around us and stand up to the tyranny. And not start sucking our thumbs and getting into the fetal position and saying, I can't do anything, or just forgetting about it and saying, you know, the Yankees had the best season ever this year. Best season ever since 2002. It looks like they can win it all. And I'm doing it in a Southern accent, and most of you Southerners probably do hate the Yankees, but I'm a fan. But that's secondary. I didn't even get to see one Yankee game this year. Not one. I didn't get to watch one Yankee game this year. I'm hoping to catch some playoffs. I'll be honest with you. I really am. But if that interferes with my film Invisible Empire, if that interferes with this radio show, if that interferes with me knowing what's going on around me, the reality of the world around me, then to hell with baseball. You're not going to have baseball in 15, 20 years. But they'll always, let's be honest, they'll always keep the bread and circus and the sports there to keep the dumbed down masses at bay, to keep them involved in everybody's batting average and how cool it is to have a sports fantasy team. Man, my fantasy football team is doing so good. I got to make some trades. And people will literally spend all weekend following their fantasy football players and making trades with one another like they're an actual manager. Like they're the coach, and that's what they're absorbed by. They don't want to hear things like World Bank welcomes new economic order from the ashes of crisis. See, they always act as your savior. Out of the ashes of crisis will come a new world order. And I just can't make this stuff up. Here's the MSNBC article, U.S. Economic Decline Forges New World Order. We always told you they would blow out this economy in one of the steps to bring in world government. The crisis is redrawing the world map of economic power as the influence of the U.S. consumer spending declines and major emerging markets like China and India take the lead. Isn't that awesome? China and India are taking the lead. Meanwhile, we praise China. We love China so much that for the 60th anniversary of their communist regime, we light up the Empire State Building. Doesn't matter that they're having big rallies in China with 80,000 kids. 80,000 kids. I mean, this is just sick. They're sitting there talking about how they need to serve the state. China's communists marked 60 years in power with parade. With a parade, about 80,000 children in Tiananmen Square spelled out the Chinese characters for national celebration with red and gold placards to begin the celebration. Later, the placards read, "Obey the party's command and serve the people." Obey the party's command. Let's not question them. Let's not have dissent. Let's not see if the things they're pushing are morally corrupt. Just obey. Blindly obey your leaders. That's not what this country is about. That's not what humanity is about. And that's not what Jason Burmese is about. We're going to continue with news in a moment, but I'm going to start taking some calls right now. Let's go to Jason in Texas. Jason, you're on the line.
Yeah, Jason Burmese. I was just going to say good job on the show, and I like listening to you and Alex and stuff like that. I just wanted to bring something to your attention that I found a couple of days ago on this company that runs some of the voter machines here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure if you all have heard about it. That this voting machine company has sold to a higher voting machine company, and now this company owns 3/4 of our voting machines.
And which company is this? Because I'm aware of Diebold and a couple of the other ones out there.
Yeah, exactly.
It is Diebold. So Diebold is buying out the lower voting machine companies, is what you're telling me?
Yes, sir.
So Diebold
is actually. Huh?
Go ahead.
Well, actually, Diebold has a Texas-based subsidiary, Premier Election Solutions Incorporated. And it's a bigger competitor. Election Systems and Software Incorporated of Omaha is buying them, and apparently this purchase has gone through, and some voter action people are rising up against it, and they brought it to one of their congressmen, and I guess one of their senators or something is handing it over to the Department of Justice to look into it. But apparently by this purchase, this company is pretty much has 3/4 of the voter machines, and there's also not even. From what I'm reading on an article, actually several articles on the internet about this, they don't even have any software in place to check for any kind of fraud.
Well, sir, so you know what? It's not enough for the American people to be bamboozled and have an election stolen in 2000 and then have Bev Harris write a book about it called Black Box Voting and have the same thing happen in 2004. And it's not enough that it's on HBO under Hacking Democracy by Bev Harris. You know, they did a documentary based on the book. We're just going to go 8 years later and let them consolidate even more power because we're suckers. Yeah, Diebold ain't good, folks. We'll be back after this, taking your call, going over the latest news. We are back. It's the InfoWarrior with Jason Burmese. We just got done discussing Diebold and their corrupt really takeover of the voting industry, because it's an industry at this point. It's not about who you vote for. It's about rigging elections for the establishment candidates. And even when they rigged the elections in 2004, it came out pretty quickly that John Kerry had actually won the elections in some of the bigger states where they said he lost, such as Ohio and other places. But John Kerry just said, you know what? We're not going to look into it. He's my cousin on both sides. Third cousin on one side, eighth cousin on the other. All this is actually covered, not him throwing the election later, but them both being in Skull and Bones together, 2 years apart at Yale. All that's covered in Alex Jones's American Dictators from 2004. One of the classics, one of my favorite Alex Jones pictures. If you haven't really dug that treasure up, it's more relevant today than ever. We're going to go back to your calls in just a moment, but I want to hit this piece of news. New York man accused of using Twitter to direct protesters during G20 summit, arrested by the FBI, Elliot Madison. Now, apparently this guy's an anarchist, but he didn't do anything. He basically Twittered, which is pretty much the same as an IM or posting on a website, only everybody gets the feed. And you could do this with your Facebook or whatever, depending on what kind of phone you have and the applications you have. And the FBI went and picked him up in New York. Now, what's really weird about this is they're not really saying what he's going to be charged with. And then they try to make him out into, you know, some hardcore, terrible person finding 11 gas masks, 5 pairs of goggles. Oh, my goodness. He had gas masks and goggles. And then they say that they also found test tubes and beakers. But they don't say anything about bomb making material. Because you know if they found, or, you know, crystal meth making material, they found any of that, that would have been in the article. Test tubes and beakers. He's an evil terrorist. You can't have test tubes or beakers in this country anymore. Or gas masks, apparently. Or goggles. So I thought that was pretty wild. The FBI went and arrested this guy for twittering during the G20 attack. What was he supposed to do? They were trying to get away from the police that were tear gassing, rubber bulleting, and LRATing people. God forbid. We played the video for you on Friday on the Alex Jones Show of the riot police shooting tear gas up into the upper balcony of the campus and then having riot cops run up the stairs and trap the students. Meanwhile, some girl starts bleeding from her neck, either by a rubber bullet or one of these canisters that had exploded and got a little bit of the shrapnel there. Granted, it wasn't pouring blood, but still ultra disturbing. All right, let's continue to take your calls. Dave in, I think that's San Diego, but I'm not quite sure. Go ahead, Dave.
Hey, Jason, it's Dave. It's actually South Dakota.
Oh, gotcha.
But anyways, I had an interesting little scenario that happened over the weekend. Me and a buddy went out around 10 o'clock one night and just had some appetizers and some few drinks, and we came home around midnight. Proceeded to go to bed, and 4:30 in the morning, we hear officers and, you know, commotions and whatnot going off, banging on the doors. So I wake up, and I'm like, what the heck's going on here?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I go and open my door to my bedroom, and there's already cops in our house, demand flashlights and everything, mm-hmm. demanding for us to show some ID. Well, there's probably like 8 or so cops here, and they said there was a string of burglaries in the area, apparently.
So well, wait a minute. They went into your home without a warrant, saying that there was a string of burglaries at 4:30 in the morning.
Exactly, and it gets better.
Okay.
So, we locked the front door every night. So, that door was locked. Mm-hmm. Funny thing about it was, we have a patio deck type thing, but no stairs, but enclosed, right?
Mm-hmm.
That screen door, we leave that screen door open because, you know, up here north, like sleeping in the cold a little more than, you know, maybe down south. But.
And plus, you're probably in a pretty small town in South Dakota. It's not like you were expecting, you know, the riot police to show up at your house at 4:30 in the morning for a burglary you had nothing to do with nor reported, correct?
Exactly. And their suspicion, or their, because I asked them, I said, you know, I didn't see any papers served. What are you doing in our house? Well, they said, our screen door was open, so that was apparently a right to come into our house. It's absolutely ridiculous. But, so he sits down and questions us, and, you know, we're sitting here going, we don't know what you're talking about, officer. You know, it's like they're like accused, we're getting like interrogated.
Guilty until proven innocent at this point.
Oh, pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
But then it finally hit me. He was talking and whatnot. And he split me and my buddy up.
Mm-hmm.
And
like they always
do. You know, he had other, there were like a couple officers talking to each of us. And proceeds to take a camera out and ask me if he can take pictures. Well, at this point, I'm sitting here going, you know, this is absolutely ridiculous. You just woke me up. I'm tired. I want to go back to bed. And I just told him, you know, you have no right to take pictures of anything. I refuse to. Mm-hmm. And they're like, and, you know, they went on.
What do you got to hide, Dave? What are you hiding?
Exactly. And,
I'm sure that's the first words out of his, you don't want us to take pictures of your house at 4:30 in the morning on an unannounced visit? We're here to protect you, buddy.
Yeah, pretty much. And, but this is when it hit me, though. He goes, why won't you let us, you know, why won't you let us take pictures of you and your house and your roommates? And I said, you know, I'm a constitutionalist, and I believe we the people have the Bill of Rights, and what you're doing is completely against that. And that kind of took him by surprise, and this is what he said then. He says, so you're one of them truthers.
Oh, see, he's gotten the Fusion Center memos. Oh. He's gotten the MIAC-type reports. He knows. Oh,
yeah.
Are you a Ron Paul supporter? You believe in 9/11 truth? You got a copy of Zeitgeist here? You better watch out, buddy. And now you're in a database.
Not pretty much. But
I got to ask you, what was the burglary? Who was reporting a burglary? Was it a neighbor? Did they even tell you that?
That's the funny thing. Because I live with one of my buddies, and then his brother lives here too, but he was actually at his girlfriend's house down the street a ways. They actually went over there and started questioning him. All three of us got completely different stories. It was a burglary. There was, one Aaron was told there's,
Dave, this is a huge story. I'm gonna have you get put on hold. We need to get your contact information, because after I tell Alex this, he's in the other room working on some Fall of the Republic trailers, which drops on the 21st. You can pre-order it right now, but I'm sure he's going to want to have you on as a guest. What are the three separate stories they gave you, your roommate, and his brother?
Well, one was just one burglary. Mine was a string of burglaries, and our other buddy was told that there was actually a naked man actually ran inside
your house.
This house, apparently, and climbed in bed with someone. And it's just absolutely ridiculous.
And you fit the description of that naked man, no doubt, right?
All three of us do. We all have different builds. One cop told me it was a shaved head guy. Well, I have a big head, head of hair on my head. How do I fit that description? Ridiculous. Mm-hmm.
Dave, I'm going to drop you right now, but listen, hold over. They're going to take your info. At the break, I'm going to tell Alex about this. This is a huge story. We've got to do a follow-up on this. It's simply unbelievable. This is what the country's come to. When at 4:30 in the morning, you're not safe in your persons and property. You're not safe in your persons or property because there might be a burglary or a string of burglaries, or you might fit a description of a pervert. We're just going to come in, you're a truther. Are you one of those truthers? You know about the Constitution. Are you educated? You're not allowed to be educated. You're my slave. I'm the authority. That is one of the craziest. Nothing shocks me anymore. These officers need to get in trouble. We're going to find out where this is in South Dakota. I can assure you this is going to be a big deal on Monday. And we need all you info warriors and listeners out there to contact these people out in South Dakota and say, hey, this ain't going to fly. I don't care what your memo says. I don't care if your memo says that people that believe in 9/11 truth and support Ron Paul or have a live free or die flag are bad. We're the ones trying to save the country. We're the ones trying to inform the dumbed down masses that there's mercury, squalene, and formaldehyde in your H1N1 shot. And it ain't even H1N1 that's out there. It's H5N1 combined with H1N1 combined with the human flu virus as well. But they're not making no one take it. They ain't mandatory yet. All the military has to take it. I just read you a mainline article of how students will fail their grade if they're absent more than 10 days. I can't even handle it. We got people protesting out in Albany, health workers, because they don't want to lose their jobs, but they don't want to take the shot either, because they know what happened in 1976 when they pulled the same scam on the American populace. People died. People got Guillain-Barré. People lost motion in their legs and arms. Can you imagine becoming a quadriplegic because someone told you you need to take a shot so you wouldn't get sick for a week and drink ginger ale and have chicken soup with saltine crackers? Call me kooky, but I think that I'd rather spend an entire year of my life bedridden with chicken noodle soup, ginger ale, and saltine crackers than lose motion in my legs and arms for the rest of my life. You know what? Give me 2 years. I'll do 2 years over that. That's like my biggest nightmare, being in a chair for the rest of my life, not being able to move from the neck down. How nightmarish is that? And then the mainstream media will tell you, well, a lot of people might say that they got sick from this shot or, had a big condition, but it's not the shot. It's not the shot. That's Reuters. They're prepping you. And right now they're fear-mongering to pregnant women. Let me show you these fear-monger articles. Pregnancy is no time to refuse a flu shot. It's out of the New York Times. You think that's bad? You think that's a bad one? How about this one? CDC, nearly 1 in 3 pregnant women who've contracted H1N1 have died in the United States. Folks, this is insanity. Nearly one in three pregnant women who've contracted H1N1 have died in the U.S. Where are the numbers? Where are the bodies? Believe me, if pregnant women were dropping dead from H1N1, the media would have loved to hype this up prior to this crappy Fox article. A stark reminder about how deadly the new H1N1 virus can be. During the news briefing Thursday, U.S. health officials said the virus has hit pregnant women especially hard. Since it first surfaced in April, nearly one in three pregnant women have died from the new strain. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right, let's jump to another caller. Anthony in Pennsylvania. Anthony, you're on the line.
Hey, how you doing? You're talking about 10-day truancy laws over here. Actually, it's really not a law. Over here, it's 3 days. If you're absent for 3 days unexcused, your parents go to jail, you get visits from CPS and other things like that.
And you have to pay fines in some places. All of a sudden, your kid doesn't go to school. It's unbelievable. They can't squeeze us enough, Anthony.
Yep. And Alex asked me to go get the No Place for Hate forms. I don't know if you're familiar with that from my school.
I am not.
Okay, well, it's an ADL-funded campaign where they say, oh, you know, you can't say the president's bad or blah, blah, blah. You have to go to after-school clubs for training and all this crazy stuff. So I asked for a form because it says the police can be contacted if you say anything that offends anybody. So I go to the office and I ask them for a form. And they said, oh, what do you need it for? I said, oh, I just wanted to review it, you know, show it to some people. Oh, we don't do that. We don't give out press release forms. I said, well, what do you mean? They said, oh, go to the ADL website. It's right up there. They changed the wording completely. The ones they give to the schools is completely different than the things I got.
Yeah, and you have no freedom. You know, you're not allowed to ask for the documents that pertain to your own life, sir. What are you trying to do?
Yeah.
Are you trying to stand up yourself? Are you trying to stand erect and not chained down to the system of tyranny? I mean, this is just, these stories get worse and worse and worse because we let them get worse and worse. I mean, how do you feel about that guy that just called in? He has eight cops in his house at 4:30 in the morning, dividing everybody up, trying to catch them in some lie. And when he says he believes in the Constitution and Bill of Rights, you one of those truthers? You one of those truthers, boy?
That's ridiculous. They're having quarantines in schools now, too. My school is a quarantine system. If you apply to, they send you to a quarantine room. You're not allowed to leave until you're diagnosed as okay.
Really? When did this begin?
Yeah, I actually sent you the first form I got. Mm-hmm. I sent it to Kurt at InfoWars or the editor, whatever it is.
Well, you know what? We're so piled down. Listen, the best way to get at me personally is my Facebook and MySpace. Facebook.com/TheInfoWarrior, MySpace.com/JasonBermis. I check those more than I check my actual email. I get a ton of good tips there. So if you've got something that's ready to go and really hot and you want me to see it, that's the best way to get it out there. I know that Kurt is always very bogged down. So is Paul. Rob Dew has a ton of jobs around here. I do too, but I do check those too. And it's a lot easier for me to go through them, especially if you'll send me a link to something you scanned in a JPEG. I know you can't attach anything, but my email is so bogged down with garbage and junk that I really can't check it as much. Anthony, thank you so much for the call. Please get that information out to me because I'd love to look at it. Let's go to Jennifer in California. Jennifer, you're on the line.
Hi. I was wondering if there was any way to convince you guys to release Follow the Republic before October 15th, since that's when the first round of the H1N1 shots are supposed to be given.
You're talking to the wrong guy, Jennifer. Thank you for the call. It's not my film. I really think that it will probably get released online prior to the October 21st release date, but that's not going to be my decision, obviously. Let's go to Bob in New Jersey. Bob, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason, how are you?
Good.
Hey, welcome to the People's Republic of New Jersey. Hey, I sent you guys the vaccination forms that they've got here in Monmouth County. I guess they're going to do the converse, and what they're asking for is the names of all the kids that want to take the shot, and then they're going to compare it against the kids that did not take the shot.
What, to try to demonize the parents and the households? How dare they say that their child's not going to take the shot?
Oh, absolutely. And there's an education forum that's going to be held and all that. And of course, you know, if you ask any questions, you know, you got to submit the questions in advance. So the next one's coming up, I think, on October the 7th. So we're going to be in touch with we're going to go out to the town hall and see if we can ask them about the squalene.
Well, don't write that down as a question, sir. What you need to do is write down a really namby-pamby question, you know, something that they're going to want to answer, such as, you know, is it going to be bad if I don't take the shot right away? And they'll go to you right? You'll be the first question. And then you ask the real question. They'll go, you can't ask that. That's not on the card. We have to expose these people, you know, for the monsters that they are, for the controlled paradigm that they are. It's unbelievable to me that at some of these town hall meetings that I've seen, somebody starts asking a real question. The guy goes, no, you didn't. That wasn't written down. That wasn't a pre-approved question. Since when in America do we ask pre-approved questions, Bob?
Well, that's the whole point. You know, they don't want to answer the tough questions. We've already instructed our kids that if they take you into a room, if they try to give you a needle or anything like that, you start screaming fire.
That's right.
Fire.
I like bloody murder myself, but fire will work as well, my friend. We're going to come back after this with your calls and breaking news. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes. Go check us out at Infowars.com and PrisonPlanet.tv. My father. Stand up for my rights. Live for humanity. Expose corruption. Expose evil. Go after tyranny. That's what I'm about. That's what I want to do with my life. And here are a couple lower level stories just to show you how corrupt authorities can be. Oh, don't question the authorities. Remember, in China, they're here to help. Obey the party. Well, here's a couple little crazy articles. Ex-Alabama judge accused of having sex with inmates. And I'm going to tell you right now, those accusations are probably true. Okay, this happens more often than not. These people are corrupt. Herman Thomas had an enviable political record as a black Democrat elected and reelected in a county overwhelmingly white and increasingly Republican. The respected circuit judge once was the Democratic Party's choice to be the first black federal judge in South Alabama. Then his career collapsed under allegations that he brought inmates into his office and spanked them with a paddle. Later, an indictment accused him of sexually abusing male inmates in exchange for leniency. He just goes to him, look, you know, you're doing 10 years in prison. I can probably shave about 5 or 6 out of that. I get a little play here. I mean, how crazy is that? The trial on charges of sodomy, kidnapping, sex abuse, extortion, assault and ethics violations is set to start Monday. But judges are good people. Oh, they're always so good. He was trying to help those inmates. They had to spend so much time in the prison. He shaved off some years for stuff they were probably doing in prison anyway. And something just along those lines. Former student defends Obama's safe school czar against allegations. This guy who's another safe school czar, because we need czars in this country for some reason. He's supposed to be in charge. Tells of a tale of how he knew a 15-year-old back in the 80s who was having sex with older men in bathrooms and he never reported it. And that's the guy that we want as our safe school czar. Nightmarish. Unbelievable. All right, let's continue with the calls. Those are just two low-level examples of corruption. That's not even on the federal level. And believe me, it gets worse and worse and worse as you start digging deeper and deeper into what these people are into. These power-hungry madmen. All right, let's go to John in Arkansas. John, you're on the line.
Hey, how y'all doing this evening?
Good, good.
Anyway, Shu, I was listening to what Obo was saying about how the police were coming into his house in the middle of the night and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And something similar to that effect happened to me like 2, maybe 3 days ago. I was walking home from my girlfriend's house, and a police officer stopped me in the street and everything, was talking to me. He said, hey, how you doing? He was friendly at first. And he said, so he broke out a conversation to me. So are you going to take the new flu shot and everything? I said, no, sir. He said, why not? I said, because I believe it's government propaganda and they're trying to poison the hell out of us. And he looked at me crazy. He said, look here, our government here to protect us and everything like that. I said, ha, you say that. But
hold on a second. Is this another guy?
Yeah, this is yet another. This is a guy out of Canada. being stopped on the streets of Canada by a police officer who's acting real nice and then asked him out of nowhere, hey, you planning on taking the shot?
That actually happened in Canada, too?
Well, listen to this.
I'm sorry, John. Arkansas. My bad.
Yeah, but speaking of Canada, they have all the same stuff is going on there where they just put army on the streets to patrol. Same thing's happening here, just like they're taking people's kids if they let their kids go have breakfast with the neighbors or if anyone babysits. No, you're not allowed free association. But expanding, Jason, they admit that thousands of times per state, the police now go in your houses without warrants.
Coming up on a break.
And they don't even...
Speaking of the swine flu vaccine, they are doing all they can to really hype up that this is good for you. That how dare people question it. And this is the headline at MSNBC yesterday. Flu vaccine is on its way, but public wary. And they're trying to ease people into it and tell them, don't be worried, it's good for you. I don't know why you wouldn't want your two-year-old to take it. And in Canada, the open plan in Canada is, you know, we can't get the 18 to 30-year-old crowd because they're not going to be part of the makeshift vaccination centers in the school. So we're just going to set those makeshift vaccination centers outside of the bars. And we're going to get them that way. And they're going to roll up their sleeves. All right, let's continue with the calls. Let's go to Ed in Canada. Ed, you're on the line.
How you doing, Jason?
Good.
I just giving you a quick call here. I'm just wondering about a couple things. One of the things you're talking about in Canada, I just seen it in our local paper, that they're actually going to give the public schools the children there the option to bypass what their parents think about having a shot.
So they're going to try to do it without the parents even signing a permission slip or even having the knowledge that their child is going to be vaccinated?
Well, no, it's like the parents will know about it, but if the parents decide that this is for kids that are under 18, obviously at 18 you can make a decision, but they're not giving the under 18, they're actually saying that if the children put the... Let's say, you know how you get a little bit of support, your teacher's saying the shots are good and what have you. They're in a position where they can bypass what the parents want.
So you're telling me they're going to make it up to the children and they're just not going to send a permission slip home and it's not going to matter whether Mr. Mitchell Rogers...
You can sign a permission slip, and if you say no, the children go to school and say, well, my friends are getting a shot, I want the shot. The parents have no say in it.
They're basically going to brainwash the children and say that it's okay for them to bypass their parents at this point to take the poison.
This was in a local paper a couple weeks ago, the Era Banner. It's Erabanner, and that's in New York region, Era Banner, Newmarket paper. And it was actually, and I could probably scrounge around and get it, but it was actually in a paper. One parent was actually really upset about it, but they're saying that with this, the way it's going, that anything else, if your kid wants to get... let's say permission to go to even a movie was you can't go if you have to be 17 or whatever to go to a restricted movie.
Mm-hmm.
But basically here they can bypass it. They can be children, yet they can have the shot. But
it's all about putting the state into control, sir. That's what this is about. This is about bypassing the parents, say that they're not important. Yeah. It's unbelievable, but it's happening. You don't want to go by WHO level 6, where they say they can quarantine large areas, give you off-site drugs that don't have to work, and you can't sue afterwards if you do survive them. They can just take a building and make it into a makeshift vaccination center. I got news for people. We've been under WHO level 6 for quite some time. Now that the vaccinations are actually getting ready, they may be ready to implement this. Total nightmare. Thank you so much for the call, Ed. That is crazy. Again, the parent can say, no, my child's not taking the vaccine. But if they can convince the child otherwise in the classroom, it doesn't matter if he's 8 years old or 14, they'll let him roll up his sleeve and take the thing. Let's go to Josephine in California. Josephine, you're on the line.
Hey, how are you?
I'm all right.
Okay, great. I have a question that is in no relation to what you guys are discussing, but I have a question in the documentary that you made, The Obama Deception.
Sure.
And how the carbon tax, how they're going to carbon tax everything. Well, they are doing it now, mm-hmm. and how it's crippling the economy on, you know, gas, beef, et cetera. Mm-hmm. We're not really seeing us, the consumer, we're not really seeing any of those taxes. Only the wealthiest 1%.
No, that's not true. Hold on. That is absolutely not true. That is the propaganda that the mainstream media is telling you. The top 1% are laughing because they're going to make money on these carbon offsets. Meanwhile, they'll never plant trees in another country. When it actually gets passed, ma'am, they're going to say, oh, you've got 3 bags of garbage? That's an extra $20. You've got two cars? That's an extra $1,500 a year. Oh, you like to heat your home? Oh, that's big time tax. We'll be back after this. You're buying in to the jackassery that the wealthy are going to be paying this carbon tax. You are out of your mind. Even the poor nations, the developing nations, know that it's a scam. Poor hit back at rich over new carbon emission demands. Developing countries are standing their ground against demands by rich nations to add steps to curb carbon emissions into a formal registry or appendix as part of a broader pact to fight climate change. Remember, it's not global warming anymore. I know a lot of you are still talking about global warming. But they know it's bull, so they've changed the terminology from global warming to climate change. Developing countries have been ramping up voluntary efforts to curb emissions. No, they haven't. Give me a break. But wealthy states want these steps to be legally binding to make it easier to gauge the global level of ambition to fight climate change. And they're trying to make this into a climate carbon credit economy, a cashless society control grid. That's what it's about. Fight looms on U.S. climate control prices. Electric utilities and heavy industry will fight for stronger controls on the prices of greenhouse gas permits than those offered in a draft climate bill unveiled on Wednesday by lawmakers in the Senate. The bill proposed by Democratic Senators Barbara Boxer and John Kerry, who are not our friends, and they've got 1,000 mayors signing on to this too. A lot of them well-meaning idiots, folks, and a lot of them power-hungry madmen that would like to take the step from mayor to congressman or mayor to governor or somebody that's in the administration, someone with more power. Just look into it. You can't tell that they're fear-mongering when they're saying the Arctic Sea could turn to acid, putting the vital food chain at risk. With the world's ocean absorbing 6 million tons of carbon a day, a leading oceanographer warns of eco-disaster. Come on. Give me a break. And I'm not against the people that actually, or I am against those who actually pollute the planet. I would like to see this about, you know, getting all the plastic out of the ocean, getting all the toxins out of the water, getting the toxins out of the sky. That's not what this is about. This is about the rich getting richer and them consolidating power. When I was at the G20 and Al Gore was having his big climate change concert via satellite, oh, I'm the leader. I did a movie. I got a Nobel Prize for it and an Oscar. I am important. There were a few people out there that knew what the deal was. They had one of those deception dollars, but it was about the carbon trading system and how it was a government scam, a huge scam. They knew what they were talking about. They're like, oh, yeah, we're going to trust the corrupt government to curb carbon emissions as they tax us for it. The richest 1% are going to be paying the taxes. No, they're going to be paying the taxes through you and your jacked up taxes for living your life. That's why we have huge articles here like contraception fights global warming. Want to combat climate change? Use birth control. Family planning is a green technology. Listen, if these folks really wanted to go green, we had the electric car in the 80s. With one charge, it would go 80 plus miles. In 88, 89, it's 20 years ago. 20 years ago. We couldn't advance that technology? No, they let the people who leased it lease it. And then when their lease was up, they're like, man, we don't want somebody to reverse engineer this or let the public get wind that this actually works or we're totally screwed. So what did they do? They took everybody's car and then they crushed them. That's the insanity we live under. We don't need hybrids. Hybrids are a joke. We could have fully electrical automobiles that also supplement their energy from the sun, a true green technology, but we don't because the establishment doesn't want to empower the people. They don't want cheap energy for me and you. That's why your electric bill is about to go up four times within the next 5 years, and they're openly telling you about this. But just keep sucking your thumb and thinking that the man is being curbed by green technology. He doesn't want green technology. No, he wants you to pay your carbon tax like a good little slave. Believe it. Jake in New York. Jake, you're on the line.
Hey, I got kind of a two-part question.
Okay.
First part is, relation to the New World Order power structure.
Okay.
Who do you guys have any evidence as to who is kind of the head of the New World
absolutely.
Order?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's name some names. Let's go ahead and do it. I find it awfully suspicious that you know, the Rothschild family, which prints the money and has their own sovereign nation in the middle of London, which is only governed by their laws, isn't one of the most powerful families/establishments in the world. Obviously, they are. They're beyond the law. Okay, when you can have your own sovereign nation in which you print money in the middle of London, wouldn't you say that's pretty powerful? Would you not? I mean, that's pretty powerful,
insane,
right?
Actually.
Yeah, kind of insane. I think it's on the brink of insanity. Let me give you another name out there. You know, the Rockefeller family, whether it started with John D. Rockefeller, then Nelson Rockefeller, and now David Rockefeller, have had their hands in almost every foundation, all these globalist paperwork. David Rockefeller admits in his own memoirs that he and his family are part of a cabal. Just type this into Google. Rockefeller admits to cabal of world government. He says that are working, and Larry Flint actually wrote a great article about 2 months ago about this where he quoted him, and we have the book in the back. Again, if you look it up online, you'll see it's actually part of his memoirs, where he admits to being part of a global cabal to bring about one world government and end the United States sovereignty. I'd say that's pretty powerful, too, don't you think?
Yeah, that's insane.
that's a pretty big admission. So those two families right there are pretty high in the upper echelons of this power structure, of this globalist structure, if you will. Now, they use a lot of different ways. They brainwash people through religion. You know, the Vatican is powerful at certain points, but, you know, I don't think that the Vatican runs everything. The Zionists are powerful at certain points, but I doubt that they run everything as well. That's not where my research has led me. I think Tarpley is spot on when he says this is an Anglo-American empire and really a continuation of black nobility and the oligarchies. I mean, why would those people ever give up their power? And then you realize people like Prince Philip, for instance, okay? He owns the majority of the media in Europe. He owns the media. And that same media that he owns are the ones busy printing, you know, crappy tabloid stories about, you know, who Princess Diana slept with allegedly after she divorced Prince Charles, and all this, you know, gobbledygook for people to eat up, all this infotainment. But if you want a large overview, I'll give you two books to read. Okay, one of them is Order Out of Chaos by Paul Joseph Watson. You can easily get a PDF file of this online. It is extremely well documented, really shows you how the power structure works, and it's very easy to read. It's a good way to bring people into this information. And then the second book I'm going to recommend, I just want to give you a little grain of salt. I definitely do not agree with all of it. Comes at it with a really super Christian perspective and a lot of unfounded claims that I found. But I would say, you know, 50 to 60% of it is really just a history book if you can read in between those lines, Jake. And that book is called 13 Bloodlines of the Illuminati, and it's by Fritz Springmeier. And if you look into Fritz Springmeier, back in 2000, he was this Christian guy that got framed up. Apparently, he was going to bomb, you know, these buildings or whatever, and they made him out to be a white supremacist. But I've read his books, and I've seen his lectures, and I have never seen any indication that he was indeed a white supremacist or planning to bomb anything. So those are the two publications that I would tell you to check out. But definitely just check out the Rothschilds, their little sovereign nation, and the Rockefellers' role in this, because those two guys, the Rockefellers especially have set up so many institutions. I mean, they helped set up the Council on Foreign Relations, for God's sake. Do you know about the CFR? The CFR was set up when the League of Nations initially failed after World War I. And then through the CFR, through think tanks, through lobbying, through a Second World War, they were able to establish the UN, which is really now the beacon for global governance and internationalism. Does that kind of answer your question, Jake?
Well, yeah, it's getting to it. But I kind of have like a a larger question pertaining more to your guys' like work and stuff like that.
Okay, sure.
You guys put out all of those pictures of Obama with the clown face and all that stuff.
Well, hold on. I just want to say this. The original one wasn't us. It was some student. We did use it once it started to gain momentum in the mainstream media. Somebody put a socialism banner under it. We don't believe it's really socialism. It's more fascism in our opinions. And then we used Infowars.com. And then later on, I did my own Obama Joker face, which says the joke's on us. That was me putting it out there. But we do that because the guy is a criminal and the joke is on us. You know, the mainstream wants to paint it up as some kind of racism. Dude, I voted for a black woman for president out of the Green Party. You know, I'm appalled that they would ever associate an image of Obama as the Joker as something racist. I don't even know how they come to that conclusion. Go ahead, Jake.
Yeah, I was saying, why, if, like, according to the theory, Obama mm-hmm. would be like a kind of a puppet for these people, right? Like they
he's
control
a, absolutely a puppet, but at the same time, he's a demagogue. He's the guy on the cover of the Rolling Stone. Have you seen the cover of the Rolling Stone where he's literally in the clouds like God? Type in Barack Obama Rolling Stone cover. They've built him up as this savior. There are literally magazines that call him the president of the planet. They put him on the cover of Spider-Man, one of the most popular comic books of all time, acclimating the children. Have you ever seen any figure, whether it be a president? I mean, the only figure that I can think of that's made T-shirt fashion as cool as Barack Obama, because these aren't elect Barack Obama T-shirts. These are hip-hop T-shirts. Oh, look, I'm wearing a Barack Obama. They had coins when he was elected that they were selling to people. They had commemorative plates. The only place I've ever seen that is at a Che Guevara. Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Another cult of personality, which, you know, again, socialism ain't the answer. Communism ain't the answer. So Barack Obama is just a puppet, but when you attack that puppet's image, you can awaken people to the bigger picture. Go check out my trailer for Invisible Empire, Jake. I'm going to try to answer a lot of your questions in that film. Invisible Empire, the subtitle is A New World Order Defined. And right now, you can go check it out at YouTube, and it'll be out February 12, 2010. I thank you for the call, Jake. I hope I gave you a lot to bite off on. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior with Jason Burmes, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
Save the victory speeches for later. Streets on fire. The mob goes wow, wow, wow. Streets on fire. The mob goes wow. 21 guns, box made of pine. Letter from the government sealed and signed. Delivered Federal Express on your mother's doorsteps.
You know, let's go over some of the sick jokes portrayed to us by the big banksters out there. First of all, it's a sick joke that people think that Bill Gates is the richest man in the world. Oh, he's wealthy. Oh, he's part of the establishment, but he's just a tool of the real establishment. He's an underling of the real power structure. This is how they just lie to you and laugh in your face. IMF says global economic recovery has begun. Now, this is October 1st. At the same time as this article coming up, the global recovery of the economy is on its way. We've done it. Yet the jobless rate climbs to 9.8% in September, the highest on record since 1994. And those are the public numbers, and it's actually much worse. And here's another headline. U.S. factory orders plunge unexpectedly in August. But you know who's making money? Walgreens is making money selling you the flu shot through fear. Their sales were up 5.3% this month, making a little extra scratch as they put mercury in your system, formaldehyde, squalene, poison. Doesn't matter that the Mayo Clinic does a study 2 months ago out of Minnesota and says, you know, by the way, if you took that flu shot, you're about 2 to 3 times more likely to get the flu. Sounds like a great idea to take something that's going to make me 2 to 3 more... times more likely to actually get the flu, and I'll pay for it too. That's awesome. You know, that's America. I mean, they're telling you right here. And by the way, some of the other headlines over here, you know, about the shifting global economic order, they tell you that if we don't have global cooperation, this is the IMF and World Bank, this is part of the real power structure now, not the one they talk about on the media, the people that print the money, they warn that global cooperation could falter. See, if we don't get together as one world, if we don't have global governance, if we don't have a world currency, then things could get much, much worse. And they are going to make them much worse progressively so that you accept this as though they're your savior. They're not your savior. They're not your friend. They're not here to help. Therefore, they're out here for themselves. Headline out of the Washington Times, dollar's day of dominance may end. They're over, baby. The SDR unit is in effect, special drawing rights unit. Just type in SDR conversion rate. You will see the SDR is a real currency. It doesn't have a physicality yet. That's the trick. But one SDR unit is worth $0.63, so about 63 cents to one SDR unit. Meanwhile, the pound and the European currency there, the euro, they're about 1-to-1 because they like pushing globalism. They know that the UK is part of the European Union and they know they've signed on to the euro. So that currency will be valued more because it promotes global governance. All right, let's continue to take your calls. Paulette in Canada. Paulette, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. My husband and I wanted me to call in tonight, and I'll tell you why. We made two websites out here in Canada called onefootstepsoffaith.ca and onepausemedpro.com. As a husband and a wife team, my husband and I have spoke very much out here in Canada about me being a walking quadriplegic from an autoimmune reaction. Mm-hmm. I had a mass lesion explode in my spinal cord because I had too much pressure on my cord from a compilation of Effexor XR, six epidurals, and a whole cocktail of immunizations for policing and security. My husband and I went through 11-year criminal trial together. I mean, he stood by my side, and I'm very proud of that, against three coaches while I was training for the Olympics. And I can tell you firsthand experience, I've seen the crooked judges. I've witnessed police officers firsthand selling drugs to my own coaches. And I had to go through a criminal trial to be defamed, abused, dumbed down again and being told that I was the problem. So I went through years and years of counseling to make sure that I was okay, which I still think I am. But I also am calling in tonight because after 24 and a half years, they gave me a payout of $35,000, which equals about $1,400 per year if you do your math, for the type of abuse that I lived through. And I find that absolutely ridiculous that, you know, people on a daily basis, when I speak to them about the New World Order, I speak to them about the autoimmune reaction, they just can't seem to identify what's going on because obviously, you know, people, when they're raised in an environment, I mean, how do you debrief these people? How do you tell them these things aren't good for you or this really is being done by our government and our system? So I went in and I wrote a $7 billion proposal and gave it to my federal government. Her name is Diana Blonsey. For the critically ill to redo disability provincially and federally. And you know what? They'll boycott me at every level, but I'll still continue to push on.
Well, that is great news, and you know, that is an inspirational story, but it is just disgusting. $35,000 after you take the immunizations and become a quadriplegic and have to fight these people. It's unbelievable. I hope people go check out your site and your story. There's dozens, hundreds, thousands of these stories out there, folks. You just got to look. We'll be back after this. It's the Info Warrior.
There is a war going on for your mind. Industry insiders slang test tube babies to corporate crackheads. They flash logos and blast ghettos. Their embroidered neckties say, stop snitching. Conscious rappers and whistleblowers get snitches made of acupuncture needles and marionette strings. There is a war going on for your mind. Professional wrestlers and vice presidents want you to believe them. The desert sky is their blue screen. They superimpose explosions. They shout at you. Pay no attention to the men behind the barbed curtain, nor the craters beneath the draped flags. Those hoods are there for your protection, and the meteors these days are the size of corpses. There is a war going on for your mind. We are the insurgents.
So what is the goal? What is the end game of all of this? And we're going to go back to your calls in just a moment, but I have to read these two, again, mainline articles out of the mainstream this week that maybe help explain what the elite's goals are, what the establishment would like to see in this country and around the world. They're obviously promoting a global currency, global governance, but what else is there out there? Well, devices locate kids but aren't panacea. Gadgets can help, but they do have limitations, experts cautioned. And this story, if you go to MSNBC, it's unbelievable. This guy is sitting there with his daughter on his lap, and they're smiling, and she's got a little necklace that helped locate her, and he has a little device that was able to get her. Because he was a negligent parent. They're at SeaWorld, and he lost his three-year-old daughter. Hey, Tubby, lay off the hot dog stand for a minute and watch your kid. I cannot imagine being with my four-year-old niece, and I suddenly lose her. You know why? Because I'm a responsible adult, and she is my responsibility, and I actually care about her. I don't need her to wear a bracelet or a necklace with a GPS device. And basically, this article is all about how it's not enough. It's not enough to have a GPS device. That GPS device could be lost. She could take the necklace off. So in not so many words, what are they promoting? They're promoting a chipped populace. Verichip's stock shot up when they were given the exclusive patent and license for a bracelet with a Verichip in it pertaining to the H1N1 vaccination status. That's their own press release. We covered it here first on InfoWars. So that's part of it. Yeah, they want a slave-driven, cashless society control grid where you have a chip in your arm or head. And you're track traced and databased everywhere you go, just not, you know, because right now I got news for you. You're listening to this program, you're being track traced and databased in everything you do on the internet and everything you do on that cell phone. Believe the hype. Go check out Hepting versus AT&T. Go check out the lawsuits they tried to bring against that telecommunication company and many others for having secret rooms in which they siphoned off all information into a hard drive under the guise of national security. And it was thrown out of court because of national security. And then in June of this year, under the appellate court, it was thrown out again for national security. This isn't Jason Burmes telling you this. Keith Olbermann covered it. This is mainline stuff. PBS did a small story about it. You'll see it in Invisible Empire. I promise you that. So what else do these elites believe? Well, they really do believe that they're going to be able to live forever. And technology has really gotten better. Right here, scientists find path to fountain of youth. The fountain of youth may exist after all, as a study showed that scientists have discovered a means to extend the lifespan of mice and primates. The key to eternal or at least prolonged youth lies in genetic manipulation that mimics the health benefits of reducing calorie intake, suggesting that aging and age-related diseases can be treated. And they've been able to de-age mice and other small animals publicly. That's part of the public record. That's not what they're doing on a black site underground. God knows how far technologically these people really are with nanotech and other devices. Let's talk a little bit of reality, okay? Until about 5 months ago, the public was led to believe that stealth technology was developed by the United States through Skunk Works in the 70s. Not true. The Nazis had a stealth aircraft. There's a huge History Channel piece on it. I think it actually might have been on National Geographic. I'm not quite sure. But just type in Nazi stealth aircraft. And they were able, I mean, dozens if not hundreds of people must have been working on this thing. But through compartmentalization, it never got out. It took 70 plus years for the public to find out that the Nazis had a stealth aircraft. That's the reality. Our technology is 20 or 30 years suppressed to what it really is and possibly beyond. I can't tell you because I'm not part of the black sites. I don't know what they're working on. I know they have chimeras. That's an open secret to the public. Jason, what's a chimera? That's a big word. Well, basically, they can take 90-95% of a human being, mix it with anything they want, and it's their guinea pig. It's their toy. Can you imagine being something that was created in a lab? You're pretty much human, except for your skin color might be a little bit different. You have a little extra hair. Or you have, you know, some other small genetic modification. And they're just testing on you all day. Makes me want to throw up. Makes me want to puke. All right, let's continue to go to your calls. Annie in New York. Annie, you're on the line.
Jason, how are you?
I'm good.
I wanted to thank you very much for your interview with Peter Gale Scott.
Oh, thank you.
And the discussion about the state of emergency that's been renewed every September since 2001 without congressional review.
Mm-hmm.
And that's mandated in the act. And I think the shadow government thinks that since the Constitution has been rescinded, that gives them cover for their treasonous acts, but I don't think that's gonna fly.
Well, for people that don't know, hold on, let me just stop you, Annie, because a lot of people don't think that the shadow government exists. They think it's something out of the X-Files. It's called the Continuity of Government Program. It's been around since we dropped the bomb, and it had limited powers at first, but then through the 80s, and it became revealed during Iran-Contra, they amped up the powers. And who did they amp up the powers with? People like Dick Cheney, people like George H.W. Bush while he was the vice president, who out of nowhere became the head of the CIA back in the 70s, and then all of a sudden he's the vice president under Reagan, who he ran against, and Reagan didn't like for 8 years, and then he becomes the president for four more. And during this time, they just kept expanding their national security powers and adding on to the continuity of government program. And what we're talking about here is them admittedly putting the continuity of government program into play on 9/11. But they also had a drill that morning called Global Guardian, where the command centers for this government, the Doomsday Planes or E-4Bs, had already been launched. They were in the air. And then magically, Annie, they're on the sites of the terror attacks. They're filmed in Washington, D.C. right after Pentagon gets struck. There's another white plane that sure looks like an E-4B to me in New York. I mean, it's complete insanity. Continue.
Well, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. I used to work for FEMA, and we, you know, it's called COG, Continuity of Government, and things that we thought would be continuation of response and recovery that we worked on them were actually a scheme for, you know, a terminus, an endpoint. But what I'm really calling about, excuse me, is MedImmune, the manufacturer of Flumist, that's that new intranasal vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they've been given front door access to Walmart, and they've teamed up with Walmart, and they're going to be giving the Flumist in the store, which will make shoppers, all the shoppers, potentially vulnerable to direct and indirect exposure, since Flumist has live attenuated virus. And the LA Times reported that the first swine flu preparation out of the hopper is going to be that Flumist spray, mm-hmm. and that health workers like those here in New York will be given it right away. The package insert from previous versions of Flumist states, anyone who gets the vaccination should avoid contact with persons who've had compromised immune systems for 3 weeks, 21 days, because of the shedding. So who do healthcare workers deal with all the time, Jason?
They deal with the sick. Yeah.
Right. I love you, Jason. God bless you and Alex, and, you know, have a good night.
Well, thank you so much, Annie. What a great caller. Let's jump to Scott in Illinois. Scott, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason. Good evening. I wrote a story to you guys on my local sheriff here in Sangamon County. He's now violating my right to petition my elected official. He said if I drop off a letter to him again, that he will have me arrested for being a nuisance.
Oh, you're a harassment if you actually stand up for your rights and try to get involved in local government, Scott.
Yep, and all I do is I drop the letter off to the records department and walk right back out of the building. I don't even see the sheriff ever.
You need to arm yourself with a camera, man, one of those small ones. I don't know what your budget is, but Rob Jacobson just picked up one of those new iPod Nanos, and the camera on it is like, you can't even see the hole. The thing is just a little bit thicker than a credit card, and if you stick it in your wallet and you stick it in your pocket and you hit record, it is some of the best video I've ever seen shot on a small camera. It's like high def quality, and these people wouldn't even know that they're being filmed. You got to pick up something like that, because the only way that we stop these people from getting away with this stuff is to record it in video. That's why I tell people we need to become the media and we need to use these tools against them. Technology is a double-edged sword. I've heard some people call me a technophobe. I am definitely not a technophobe, but I can see how it can be used against us and for us. And while we still have the right to carry a cell phone with a camera, or to have a camcorder with us, or to have a pocket cam such as this iPod Nano, we need to use that right, because once we document that information and we put it on YouTube, it's irrefutable. It causes a public uproar. You never know what's going to take off into the tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, and then millions of views. And really, we have to convict these people in the court of public opinion if we ever think we're going to stop them. And that's why, you know, that's why this operation here at InfoWars is so important. I thank you for the call, Scott. Let me explain something to people. How are we ever going to have a fighting chance if we can't be the news, if we can't be the media, if we don't have the people's best interests at heart? And that's why I think it's great that we have expanded, mainly due to our last money bomb, into the office next door. We had Peter Dale Scott in here, and he was looking around. He's like, wow, this is great. And I'm like, Peter, you have no idea what it looked like a little over a year ago when we were in this small shack that was connected to a convenience store. Half the staff, I'd say about one fifth the space, and now we've been able to buy this. You know, if you go online, you can go and check out how it was completely gutted. And now we have construction workers over there working on the new studio. I can't give you a time frame because really it's up to the construction people how quick they're able to establish that. But we're trying to take it up a notch. We're trying to have a weekend television show, a wrap-up news program. We need our own media agencies, and we need citizens to become the media and really have less fear. If you live in fear, if you don't think you can make a difference, you won't. You'll be scared and you'll sit there and suck your thumb and just let life pass you by. But that's not me. That's not how I was raised. I was raised to stand up for myself. I was raised to speak out. I was raised to do the morally right thing when I recognized it. I'm not perfect. I do bad things too. I can be lazy. You know, I get caught up in sports as well sometimes. Right now, I'm missing American Dad and the Cleveland Show and Family Guy and The Simpsons, things I really love. I really do love those things. Still, I think they're some of the smartest things that are on television, even though to a large extent, some of them are pretty, you know, dumbed down and really do go for the lowest common denominator. But I'm missing them because this is more important. This show reaches thousands of people and then tens of thousands of people. And then those tens of thousands of people try to wake up their friends and family. And I'm always telling people, try to find some common ground with somebody first and then use that common ground to expand on the information. Let me give you an example. I was in a bar the other night and somebody picked up on this conversation that me and Michael McWhorter, who does graphics for a lot of the movies out here, he's been working on films with Alex since Terror Storm. Me and McWhorter are sitting there having a beer and I was talking about how I had to be in studio to be on air. And the guy next to me, he said, oh, on air, what do you do? And I just looked at him. I said, you ever heard of Alex Jones? And he's like, oh, I know who Alex Jones is. And I'm like, yeah, well, I substitute host for Alex Jones and I have my own program. And he's like, well, are you a libertarian? And I said, well, I wouldn't even label myself as a libertarian. I just don't buy into the crap of both parties. And I'm a constitutionalist and somebody who's for the Bill of Rights. So this guy's, well, you know, I just recently joined the Libertarian Party and Jimmy Vaughn is a part of it here and it does some really good things. And we started getting into a conversation and he wasn't particularly religious. And he was saying to me at one point, he said, man, what I really can't stand is when those Christians get up here and they preach this and that. And I said, whoa, whoa, whoa. All right, let's stop. Let's pull it back. You know, we just agreed on some things here. But I said, you know, you probably think that George Bush is a Christian. He's like, yeah, of course. And I said, sir, he's not a Christian at all. And I explained to him about the Bohemian Grove Club. And he's like, oh, I've never heard of that before. And I said to him, well, you know what the Frost Bank Tower is here. And he's like, you're talking about the Owl Building. And I said, yeah. And he said, what is that, kind of their logo or something? And I said, well, actually, the owl is one of their logos. And I told him at this Bohemian Club, at the opening ceremony, they do a pagan ritual in which somebody in a large Pope-type hat and a bunch of people dressed up like druids do this very Babylonian, earth-based ritual in which death rows in on a boat, gives an effigy of a baby, and they burn it in front of this owl god, which is a representation of Moloch, which the Canaanites used to sacrifice their children to during the harvest. And it kind of blew his mind, but he wrote it down, and he said, you know, I'm going to have to check that out. And I said, they're laughing at you and controlling the Christians, at least not all the Christians. I know there's a lot of Christians that listen to this program and listen to Alex Jones and are very much in the know. But the vast majority of Christians, the 700 Club Christians out there, the people that are like, bomb those brown people. The brown people are bad. They just follow what these politicians are saying because they think they have the same morals as them. No, they're wolves in sheep's clothing. It's part of their religion. It's part of their belief system to deceive you using your religion. And he was kind of blown away by that, but he was really digging what I was saying. He gave me his card. I got his card in my wallet right now. I'm going to have to email him. I told him to check out the trailer for Invisible Empire. I told him I was a filmmaker. You know, please go check out my latest film, Fabled Enemies. Folks, if you haven't seen Fabled Enemies and you don't know how 9/11 was an international intelligence operation and how it was really carried out, who was involved, how was it financed, who was caught on the scene, you need to get that film. You can buy it over at Infowars.com or become a PrisonPlanet.tv subscriber, or even watch it for free on YouTube and Google Video, because I put everything I do out for free. Because I could give a rat's ass about money. As long as I have enough to live and get by and keep my car on the road and get gas to get here, that's enough for me. You know, I don't need diamonds and gold. I don't need to be rocking jewelry. I'm not a big-time rap star. It's not about the bling to me. You know, it's about humanity. It's about our struggle to take on evil. Good and evil have always existed throughout history. And by God, I'm going to be on the side of good. Because I don't want to be a subject of evil. I don't want to be a sociopath that gets off on screwing people, on hurting people. I don't take pleasure in those types of things. But the elite do. All right, let's continue with the callers. Let's go to Jason in Ohio. Jason, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason. How you doing?
All right.
Yeah, I was going to speak about something earlier, actually. You kind of mentioned it was just mainly like... how they keep preparing us for, like, everything. They got, like, the Girl Scouts, you know, the brown shirts.
Mm-hmm.
They've got, like, our school kids dressing, like, you know, to, like, their specifications,
mm-hmm.
you know, everything
well, you know,
like that.
Hold over, Jason, but, you know, last night I was in the bar, right? And I'm sitting there, and it's a big DJ party, and everybody's bouncing, but they've got cable up on the screen on the right-hand side of me, and I look up, and what do I see? City Year. Serve a year, change the world. I am change. They're jumping off on the Obama phenomenon to indoctrinate your kids into a Nazi youth organization. We're going to come back with Jason and much more after this. It's the Info Warrior.
Ooh, Lordy, my trouble so hard. Ooh, Lordy, my trouble so hard. Don't nobody know my trouble.
It absolutely blows my mind.
Don't nobody.
That they'll have these youth lined up in a military formation doing jumping jacks and putting their arms behind their backs in the Nazi colors. In the Nazi colors. Now, Hitler's Jugend were blonde-haired, blue-eyed, good little Nazi youth. And now they're targeting minorities, people of color, through City Year. I mean, it's for everybody, but who are the leaders in these commercials? They're African-Americans, they're Latinos, they're people that are supposed to identify with the new overlord. But they're wearing the same exact frickin' colors as the Nazis. They're wearing red, white, and black uniforms. It's blowing my mind. Jason, give me some other examples of how we're being prepped.
Oh, absolutely, Jason. They do this with the cartoons. You know, they bring the cartoons out there, you know, with, like, the global warming stuff, like the SpongeBob mm-hmm. baloney, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They got the, you know, they'll have, like, the Simpsons on there. They'll have their global warming on there. They'll show the nuclear plant sites, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They'll do that with video games. They'll put, like, all this, you know, army-related stuff in there. It's all training us, you know, getting us prepared, getting us, like, used to this system that they're installing. I mean, it's just mind-blowing. It blows my mind sometimes. You know, I used to be one of these people back in the day that I didn't want to believe, like, our government could be so corrupt, so evil. But I started listening to Alex a long time ago, and... when I started listening to him then, I kind of thought, like, Alex was kind of, like, you know, crazy. I thought Alex was just, you know, moonbat crazy. But mm-hmm. after a while, I started to see exactly what that man was talking about.
Yeah, and, me too. And it blew my mind.
And he blew my mind.
Mm-hmm.
He's that amazing. I mean, once I started to really see it, I was like, you know... I just kind of, my heart dropped, man, to put it honestly.
Oh, let me give people an example of my awakening. Thank you for the call, Jason. When I started studying 9/11, before I came across Alex Jones, I was already losing sleep. I couldn't believe what I was reading. I couldn't believe what I was seeing in some of the raw videos I was downloading off of some of the file share networks, Kazaa, Morpheus. Those were the ones that were around back in the day when I started looking into this in 2002. It was way before torrents were even really big. And I was disturbed then. Then I come across Road to Tyranny on the web, this 77 megabyte real player file, some of the worst video compression I had ever seen in my life. It was off sync audio wise by about 10 seconds, 2.5 hour film. I watched the whole thing with my roommate, and me and my roommate are looking at each other just like, this guy is crazy. None of this can be true. this can't be true about it. Even you're watching the OKC stuff, Oklahoma City bombing, and it's blowing your mind. And then you're saying, I'm going to prove this guy wrong. At least that's what I did. And I went through every single claim in that movie. And in a relatively short period of time, I was able to verify 80 to 90% of it. And at the end, when he's talking about global warming, you know, I had grown up thinking Clinton was the best thing since breakfast. We didn't have war. We had a great economy. Global warming was real. We're going to save the planet. And he's telling me global warming's not real? Come on, Alex. But sure enough, you look into it, it's about a carbon tax. He was correct. This is about blowing out the U.S. economy, a consolidation of power on the bank front. And here's another mainline article. Regulators close banks in Colorado, Michigan, and Minnesota. Regulators have shut down Warren Bank in Warren, Michigan, and two small banks in Colorado and Minnesota, boosting the number of failed U.S. banks this year to 98 as loan defaults rise in the world's financial climate, the worst financial climate in decades. And here's what they're doing. They're going to squeeze out all the smaller banks so that they, again, can consolidate power to the IMF, the World Bank, the FDIC, the Federal Reserve, a new monetary system, and get rid of the dollar. Why? For global governance, so we can all become unified under one tyrannical police state. I don't want to believe it. I don't want to be doom and gloom all the time. Quite frankly, I would rather be sucking back some beers, playing some softball with some buddies, or maybe shooting some hoops, drinking a Gatorade. That would be nice for me. But I can't sit back and just allow this to happen without using the biggest tool God gave me, and that's my yapper. So we're going to come back. We're going to take your calls, go over some more breaking news. It's the Info War with Jason Burmis, PrisonPlanet.tv, Infowars.com.
Well, come on, all of you big, strong men. Uncle Sam needs your help again. Got himself in a terrible jam way down yonder in Vietnam. Put down your books and pick up a gun. We're gonna have a whole lot of fun. And it's one, two, three. What are we fighting for? Don't ask me, I don't give a damn. The next stop is Vietnam. And it's five, six, seven.
You think a stimulus plan's gonna save the economy? Well, not according to Reuters. Stimulus can't ease job pain for U.S. states and cities. The fiscal crisis hitting most U.S. states and cities is now adding to the country's workforce woes, with more than 20% of the jobs that the country lost last month coming from government sector. See, they're trying to say the government's getting smaller. No, they're downsizing the state governments and giving the federal governments more funding and power. That's, again, what this is about. And they're going to give another stimulus package. It ain't no stimulus. It's a bankster takeover. Again, consolidation of power. But a lot of you guys have small brains out there and you can't wrap your minds around it. I've got a small little brain. I mean, I know I do. But my brain's been hit with this information so much, I'm almost desensitized to it. I wish that tomorrow I woke up and all this stuff wasn't a reality. But that's not how the real world works. And there will be people out there that will willfully go to the camps and they'll say, well, we had that pandemic, we needed to do it. Or, you know, we had that terrorist attack, we needed to do it. The government loves us. They're here to help. They're here to restore order. I'm in compliance. They love to give you buzzwords that you can latch onto as some kind of a security blanket. Well, you bow down to your globalist masters. All right, let's keep taking the calls. Let's go to Scott in Washington. Scott, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason, a couple of things. First of all, for that lady who had called up earlier on defending either the carbon tax or this cap and trade or whatever carnation that it is, she might be interested in doing a search engine of Dennis Kucinich and his vote of no against this thing and him calling it exactly for what it is. And basically he said two things. One, it would do nothing to curb emissions, and two, it was nothing but a derivative, scheme. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he's one of the most left members of the Congress as it is, but that's something that hardly ever got any media play.
Yeah, because like Kucinich, because a lot of times he supersedes the left-right paradigm. He is left on a lot of issues, but again, let's not forget, Kucinich is the one guy that sat there and tried to impeach Cheney. He's the one guy that gave out of the 33 articles of impeachment of the Bush administration, three regarding 9/11. Dennis Kucinich scares the establishment. That's why he's constantly the butt of jokes in comedy shows, and he's portrayed as a nutball. No, he's one of the few people working on the Hill with someone like a Ron Paul, who is trying to look out for, you know, the little guy, me and you.
Yeah, so, you know, the left might want to consider that the next time they think it's so wonderful. Mm-hmm. Second thing that I wanted to say real quick, that Becky Shea character up there in Hardin, Montana up there, mm-hmm. you know, I know everybody is saying that, you know, she's an unwilling dupe and all of that kind of stuff. But, you know, I have a really hard time believing that. This woman worked for, what, nearly 20 years for the Billings Gazette as an investigative reporter. You know, I have a hard time believing that she doesn't know or doesn't realize what she's getting herself into.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that she knows. Let me say this, Scott. I think she knows that there's corruption abound. But she also knows she just got the biggest paycheck of her life, that she's driving around in a new SUV with a gas card. She's probably getting paid three times as much as she ever got paid as a Billings Gazette reporter. And let's not forget, a Billings Gazette reporter reports a lot of mainline things. So she probably doesn't see the bigger picture of why it would be wrong to train foreign military and foreign mercenaries on U.S. soil. She doesn't probably understand why it's not good to have a foreigner with 17 separate aliases and all these convictions. I mean, I would think that the convictions on crime would set off alarm bells. But how many people out there go along to get along, Scott? And how many people lie to themselves to make themselves believe that it's not as bad as it really is? I'd say the majority of the populace, wouldn't you?
Yeah, it might be one of those things that adage about keep your friends close and keep your enemies closer.
Well, I don't even think she sees them as the enemy, Scott. I really don't. I think she's looking at this paycheck like, wow, this could change my life, and I will go along to get along. I thank you for the call. We're going to keep taking your calls after this. If you missed any of the program, go check out the podcast at theinfowarrior.com.
For you, no letters endorsing you. Pole position in the coffin is what is costing you. The caucus bosses who control the fortunes through the mortgages of a culture with losses through and through.
But it's the rebel laws.
Godspeed with devil's charm. The shit made can switch blades in every arm.
We are back, and my board op is having a mental breakdown out there because he looks like he's going to lose his fantasy football game this week, and I wish that was a joke, but I think that's the most emotional I've ever seen him. In the almost year we've worked together, and we've actually worked together on and off for over a year as I was subbing in for Alex Jones, that shows how dedicated we are to something we're not really even involved in. And I'm the same way. I mean, I'll sit there and I'll watch a UFC card, and if my guy loses, I don't even have to be betting on it. I'm like, oh, how could he lose? We should be getting fired up about the fact that troops were on the street at checkpoints in Pittsburgh, that riot police shot tear gas onto a balcony and trap students there. It's all up at Infowars.com. We covered it last week. It's all there. It's on PrisonPlanet.tv. It's on the YouTube. It's a Google search away. That's what we should be concerned about. But no, we're concerned about fantasy football and the upcoming playoffs. And by the way, the Cowboys are playing, and that's very important. I live in Texas. I mean, in Texas, again, I'm sitting in this bar, and what am I watching? They got a show for high school football out here. High school, who gives a rat's ass about high school football unless your kid's playing or you're a coach at the school or maybe a teacher there? I mean, it's good to have school spirit, and I think that high school sports really can teach you a lot of life lessons out there, teach you discipline, are good in a lot of respects. I played high school baseball. We didn't have football, so I had to play soccer, played basketball. Some of the best times of my youth. But do I glom onto them? Am I, you know, that John Cougar Mellencamp story, glory days, move on, you're an adult. And girls, high glory days. I mean, just, there's more to worry about than a football. There's more to worry about than A-Rod. We got global government, tyrannical global government, by the way, encroaching on our freedoms every single waking moment, every breath we take. It becomes a step closer to fruition. And we just lie back and suck our thumbs, and it's like, whatever. All right, let's continue to take your calls. It's 888-201-2244, 512-646-1776. Let's go to Eric in Pennsylvania. Eric, you're on the air.
Hello, Jason.
Hey, hey.
All right, so I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, I came across this video. It was an executive from Microsoft talking about how they're the ones who created the Fusion Center for Homeland Security.
Really?
And then I realized that Microsoft Windows 7 is coming out. Mm-hmm. They designed this entire Threat Fusion Center. And I posted the link on your MySpace page, along with the link for, it's called the 2008 ESRI Homeland Security GIS Summit. And it has Microsoft and ESRI there, and it's all about how this thing is so incredibly massive, Jason.
ESRI Summit, and this was...
I posted the link on your MySpace.
To just today while I was doing the show?
I just did it now, and it has a link right to Microsoft. You got to put a screenshot of this thing. I mean, it just says right there, we're spying on everybody. I mean, my hands are shaking, okay? Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. At the break, I will sign into my MySpace over... Actually, you guys can probably pull it up anyway. Just type in myspace.com/Jason Burmis, and it will automatically pull up... It'll either pull up my profile... It'll pull up my profile, which actually has my comments on there. And if indeed he... What did you post, a JPEG?
No, I posted the link and then a little... Two links and then a little summary of... A little summary of it.
So then, from
one of the links.
So then, from my page, guys, you should be able to just click on those links, and it'll take you to the Microsoft page, and we'll post them over here at PrisonPlanet.tv and Infowars.com. And I thank you, Eric. You always come up with good information. Go ahead. We didn't drop them, did we? No. Go ahead, Eric.
Codex Elementarius is coming January 1st. So I mean, no one talks about it really, but I mean, it's like right there.
For those who don't know what Codex is, give them a little brief summary.
I'm not the best person to explain it, but I will say that it's basically like some kind of treaty that has an international...
It's a treaty that regulates what we can ingest into our bodies, vitamin and mineral-wise, basically. It says it's going to bring in a bunch of GMO foods, it's going to make
Monsanto.
Yes. Monsanto loves us, though, Eric. It's a good thing. They do. They really do love us. They're the greatest corporation of all time.
Well, they're probably going to run that. Microsoft's probably going to be the new government, because that's what it looks like to me. It looks like Microsoft is actually the new government.
Well, you know, Microsoft is also going to be launching their Project Natal, which is a controller, which is actually a camera that's in your house 24/7 that has voice recognition technology and body scanning technology, and will be hooked into the internet the majority of the time, unless you actually unplug that Ethernet wire. Guess what? This is wired to the internet 24/7. They could log into it at any moment, and people are going to love it. They're going to eat it up because the technology is mind-blowing. But at the same time, they're going to be giving up their biometric information without even realizing it, Eric. All under the guise of a video game. This is reality.
My kids.
I know.
Poor kids. I love my children. Oh, my God. We have to stop these people. That's all I got to say. Thank you so much, Jason. Please.
And we're going to post it, I promise you. They're on it right now outside the great board ops out there. Let's go to our next caller. Let's go to Justin in Canada. Justin, you're on the line.
Hi there, Jason. I've seen this article a couple times, just things mentioning this in my local newspaper up here in Lethbridge I live in.
Okay.
It's just mentioning... like the Buy American Act and stuff like that, and I know that it has to do with some sort of a trade deal between the United States and Canada.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just not really sure, like, exactly what it entails, but...
You know what it is? It's really a further integration into this North American Union structure that they've been very hesitant to announce publicly.
Yeah, that's kind of what I figured, because I remember just reading stuff about how basically they're going to use NAFTA and just, you know, trade type things like that to bring about this North American Union in order to sell it to people, right? They're going to be like,
they've already passed a lot of they've passed a lot of the legislation. NAFTA's out there. CAFTA got passed. That's the Central American Free Trade Agreement. Got passed in 2004.
Yeah.
The Securities and Prosperity Partnerships, that has already happened. The former president of Mexico, Vicente Fox, has stated that he was upset that it hasn't gone quite as far as he wanted to and that it's taking too long to do. They're all in favor of it. Our world leaders want this system where, again, Mexico, the United States and Canada are integrated into a more of a European Union type development. Whether or not we're going to have an Amero or a hard currency, I can't tell you.
I'm sure it's not very far off now.
Well, they may surpass it to just go to that global currency.
I'm listening to stuff all the time, and I can't. believe, like, the type of atrocities that are going on there, and I'm curious to find out, you know, just how long it's going to take for this to bleed over.
Well, here's the deal. We don't like making predictions on how long things are going to take. These people are patient. You know, I'm not one of these doomsday sayers that the world's going to end in 2012. Look out for Planet X. Oh, no! I'm not that guy. I think that they would be very satisfied if they don't get world government by 2012 to get it by 2025. Or if it doesn't come by 2025, they'll wait till 2050. You know, for their chipped populace. They'll take their time. They realize that the public has to be acclimated. And if the public isn't properly acclimated, they may revolt. And they don't want a hard revolt in this country or anywhere in the world because that causes problems for the establishment and the elite. And then the majority of people that get burned are just front men. As those front men get burned, the establishment gets scared that the populace may get closer to the real power structure. The true tyranny out there. So, you know, I don't like giving timetables, but I do know through crises, they're able to pass massive amounts of legislation and acclimate the public to these ideas much quicker. I mean, you look at 9/11, all of a sudden it's okay to have Homeland Security. All of a sudden it's okay to forcibly take your shoes off at the airports, to go through secondary and third screening processes. You know, it's okay to be in a war in the Middle East for over 8 years now. That's okay. It's okay to set up permanent bases there and kill brown people. That wouldn't have been okay without a 9/11 event. I promise you that. And that's why in the Project for a New American Century documents, a bunch of these, you know, elitists and globalists out there, their company men, wrote about this in Rebuilding America's Defenses, saying that this would be really hard to do unless they had a catalyzing and catastrophic event like a new Pearl Harbor. And then all of a sudden, everybody's calling 9/11 the new Pearl Harbor. But that's a coincidence. Jason Burmes is a conspiracy theorist. He's obviously out of his mind. I mean, I can read the report and it does say what Jason says, but he's Looney Tunes. All right, let's continue to go to your calls. Let's go to Mark in Oregon. Mark, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Good.
As all right as I can be with all this stuff, you know?
Yeah. Well, it's an honest answer, right?
Yeah.
As usual. And I, you know, I'm looking around here and you reported on, or a caller called in, the lady who formerly worked for FEMA called in about the Walmart nasal mist vaccinations.
Mm-hmm. And remember, a lot of people that wouldn't take a shot in the arm will take a nasal spray. That's like nothing to them. People, because they're worried about the people who even fear needles that don't know the truth about the vaccination but just don't like to get shots because they don't like needles. Oh, they've come up with the solution. It's nasal spray town at Walmart, the happiest place on earth. Go ahead, Mark.
Yeah, and what that'll do toward spreading the virus, because it does, we've known for at least several months now, it's a live attenuated virus in there, and it's ready to become a contagion to other people. So they plan on... You know, I really don't have any doubt. I don't see how else they could do it by the actual viral contamination that exists out there. Because even though they're hyping it, is that people are getting sick left and right around the world and in this country, universities. I guess they're doing that because they do it by rote. I don't know if they expect anyone to believe that. But you've also got some other aspects that I'd like to just ask you about real quick.
And sure, Mark, hold over. We're going to come back after this. It's the InfoWar with Jason Burmes. More news ahead. PrisonPlanet.tv, InfoWars.com. It is confirmed. Thank you so much, Eric in Pennsylvania. You know, in the break, I ran over to my MySpace and he sent me the link and I clicked on it. And yes, Microsoft openly did set up these fusion centers. And remember, these are the same fusion centers that have these MIAC style reports in which now police just come into your home, accuse you of crimes. And then when you invoke the Constitution and Bill of Rights, you one of those truthers, boy. I've been reading about you. That's right. I've been reading about you. We got law enforcement sensitive eyes only papers telling me about you and your heresy. you heretic, you un-American piece of filth. No, it's you that are the un-American piece of filth going into somebody's home at 4:30 in the morning and then accusing him and his roommate of burglary or multiple burglary or being a pervert. You really can't get the story straight. All right, let's go back to Mark in Oregon. Mark, go ahead.
Yeah, it's like we're living on, remember the Superman comic books, the planet Bizarro or Pizarro?
No, on the Bizarro planet, where everything is the opposite of what it should
backwards.
Be. Yeah,
backwards from what it should be. Getting more so all the time, unfortunately, right now. But, Jason, you know, I look at the situation that we're in right now, narrowing it down to two parts. And one is martial law. The other is the poisoned ingredients within the vaccine.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a double aspect to what's in the vaccines because they also contain what Dr. Lynn Horowitz has recently divulged as being called Nanoxyl-9, which is an actual spermicide. So it has an HIV.
A sterilant?
Yes, and it has an HIV type of pedigree somehow chemically. So I'm not sure about that. But that's
so what is it supposed to attack your autoimmune defenses as well?
Well, it causes you to be sterile and God knows what else.
Well, I just want to take this more and more. I hear about it. It just sounds so great.
Well, from looking at the ingredients, they're poisonous. I mean, there are a number of poisons in there.
But Mark, when you get it at Walmart, they're going to give you a yellow smiley face sticker. It's got to be good for you then, doesn't it?
Right. And I think they're going to disperse as they go along relative to individual batches that are made up or not made up of certain poisons, which would have an effect if need be. If they feel they can get away with it, they're going to vaccinate as many people as they can. I think they have got, with the highly toxic and contagious by live attenuated virus, that's what they'd like to give everybody, I believe. You know, I just think the worst of them. I hope that this isn't
the doom and gloom scenario where they do try to go after a massive population reduction, where they do try a hot martial law, but I'm definitely not putting it out of the realm of possibility. They've certainly set up the infrastructure for it. They've certainly, went into WHO, which is United Nations World Health Organization Level 6, where they literally say that your Constitution and Bill of Rights are suspended. You are under global government. We will quarantine you. We will use off-site drugs that could poison you, and we will take over buildings as makeshift hospitals and vaccination centers. We've read the subsections dozens, if not hundreds of times in the past 6 months on this program and the Alex Jones Show, and people still can't wake up, Mark. It's very sad.
Coming up to the present time, I don't know if people can wake up or not. I just know that if these evildoers are allowed to do what they seem apparently fully intending to do this time with the only beta test that they needed occurring in April. And I'm just looking at it now, Jason, as when people start taking the vaccinations, and now they're imminently or they've already begun giving them to all school children in this country. Mm-hmm. They're giving it to the whole military, at least the military, which I guess is most of it, almost all of it.
As far as I know. I read the thing on air, and it said all National Guard members and members of the Defense Department as well, and there was no pass for the Air Force or the Navy or the Marines.
So what I look at is where you have these poisons in this vaccination, that will affect people personally. When it comes to viral contamination and dissemination of the virus that's going to come through the vaccination, like I say, I'm looking at the situation now ongoing, and these things will move fast once the vaccinations are given. Prayerfully not, but it seems the plan is, since they're using a live attenuated virus, which is very, as I mentioned, very contagious from the person who gets the virus. It's the same way that the flu epidemic of 1918 occurred, when the soldiers got, at least on one base, got a tremendous amount of inoculations for a flu virus back then, which was called the swine flu virus. So they're just simply restating it. They don't have enough respect for us. We're already dead meat, according to them. So they're just, they're not being real careful to cover their steps. They figure they can just cram it down our throat.
You look at the rhetoric that was given by Gerald Ford. It's word for word what the Obama administration is talking about from 1976 to 2009. I guess we just haven't gotten smarter. We're taking your calls in this final half an hour of the Info Warrior. It's 888-201-2244 or 512-646-1776. More on the way with Jason Burmis after this.
Standing on the top of their own graves.
own website, and we're going to bring up the website as I tell you this on prisonplanet.tv. We talked about catalyzing events that allow us to be acclimated to tyranny much sooner and without question. And what does this start off with? September 11th, 2001 fundamentally changed the threat and response environment in America. Yeah, when the shadow government, with the aid of Saudi Arabia, Israel, and Pakistan, decided to kill 3,000 American citizens, yeah, it fundamentally changed the response environment in America to more tyranny by the same people that brought you the attacks. Today, to protect our homeland, does anybody else remember Deutschland security? Oh, it's just Hitler. What a great guy that Hitler was, huh? Hell of a mustache. And to counter potential threats and criminal activity, government agencies need to take proactive action. Proactive. Oh, we can't be reactive anymore. Proactive. We've got to spy on you before it happens. It's like preemptive detention. Need to take proactive action to prevent, prepare for, and respond to crises. To this end, secure and trusted information gathering, assessment, and sharing are critical across all levels of government and the private sector. Because the government is the private sector. It's a technocracy. That's the reality. Oh, man. Information fusion centers have become the generally accepted solution, enhancing awareness, prevention, preparation, and response, and putting out paperwork that says, you're the terrorist. You like Ron Paul? You believe in a new world order? You got the movie Zeitgeist? You got a live free or die sticker on your car? You're the terrorist. That's why they're training Boy Scouts now in a special program to take on veterans who are coming back from the Iraq War. They're the bad guys, the people that just fought the other bad guys that are brown and okay to kill millions of and cover up. Well, I'm just going to skip down to the bottom here, but you can go check this out yourself. I'm sure there's going to be a story on it. With Microsoft Fusion Framework and Fusion Core Solution, agencies can seamlessly move information from intake to analysis to dissemination in multiple agency, multi-level environment while utilizing existing assets and integrating with domain-specific applications. You know, that's why Rob Dew gets picked up at the G20 for having a camera, a very dangerous weapon having a camera. He can be put in plastic cuffs all evening, have his digital fingerprints taken, and then be released with no charges brought against him. You think they put that into a database? You think they put that through a fusion center? Well, you'd have to be a half-retarded monkey not to believe that. Or just somebody that's watching the Sunday night football game, slurping down Jenny Light. You could be that guy, too. Need a little Pabst Blue Ribbon in your life, I'm sure. All right, let's continue with the phone calls in this long segment. George in Illinois. George, you're on the line.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hey, Mr. Burmes, how are you?
I'm all right.
Hey, I got a quick question. I just ordered a book, I finished reading it already, from the InfoWars store. It's called Bloodlines of the Illuminati. Are you familiar with it?
I actually brought it up today. Yeah, someone called in about it today, and I gave my opinion on it, but we'll do it again. I have read some of the major chapters. I have watched his lecture, which is called 13 Bloodlines of the Illuminati. It's a little bit over 3 hours. I don't know if you've seen that. A lot of the same information in both. Mm-hmm. And although he comes at it with an ultra-Christian perspective, a lot of it is a history book. You know, when he goes after, you know, he talks about the Astor family or the, I'm trying to think, the Russell family's in there, I believe. He has chapters on the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds. You know, I don't buy into anything 100%, especially because a lot of that stuff is based on text. And again, he does come at it as a super religious perspective. But a lot of that information is good. I would say 60 to 70% of it is right on. There's some stuff in there that's a little far out to me, like, you know, Madonna is a mind-controlled sex slave. I don't know how you would be able to prove that. He talks about the Amish being used in assassinations. To me, that's a little far-fetched. However, you know, the guy was framed up in 2000. Are you aware of that story?
Well, that was one of the questions. He's not around. He's in jail now.
Yeah, well, here's the deal. Not only is he not around and he's in jail now, in 2000, they painted him up to be some kind of a white supremacist. Now, anybody that's read the book or seen his lectures will know that he's not a white supremacist and that, you know, he was pretty tolerant of other religions. And really, his book, although, again, at a Christian perspective, never calls for the death of all Jews or anything like that. And then all of a sudden they said that he was this white militant that was going to blow stuff up, which gives even further credibility to his book, in my opinion, George.
Okay, but what I want to know, he makes a claim in there that Abe Lincoln was a descendant of the Rothschilds. Do you know anything about that?
I don't. I mean, there's another claim in there that he saw an actual physical picture of Satan who visits the earth every 26 years. And, you know, I can't verify that either. That's why I tell people to go check things out themselves, do their own research, cross-reference everything. I know it takes time and we've got busy lives, but this is pretty important information. But at the same time, a lot of that information is good information. I don't know that Abe Lincoln is a descendant of the Rothschilds. I do know that a lot of our presidents are descendants of Blue Bloods. There's no doubt about that. They're the heirs to the aristocracy, if you will. But just because of that doesn't make you a bad person. If you're fighting for the rights of the poor, of the meek, you look at Kennedy, for example. You know, Kennedy comes from one of these bloodlines that's discussed in this book. It comes from corruption. Joe Kennedy and the family really made their money through bootlegging and running drugs, running opium. And yet things got so bad when he won the presidency that he started taking on the establishment for the little guy, and he's got his head blown off for it. And then his brother got his head blown off for it. So just because you come from a certain bloodline, I don't think that automatically makes you bad, but it definitely gives you the connections to the elite and the temptation, I guess, to become a power-hungry sociopath. You get what I'm saying, George?
I got you. Thanks, man. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Let's go to Sebastian in Louisiana. Sebastian, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason. How you doing?
All right.
Hey, listen, I live in Miami, but I work in Louisiana, and I fly in and out. And I want to know if those biometric scans that you have to go through in the airport, are those mandatory?
Which biometric scans are you talking about? Are you talking about
in the Miami International Airport, in Louisiana they don't have them, it's podunk. But in the Miami International Airport, when you go in, you got to show ID about four times. And then when you finally go through the TSA, they make you do the body scan.
I know what you're talking about now. I thought you were talking about maybe a retinal scan device or a fingerprint device. I'd never seen any of those. But yeah, you're talking about the cameras that basically are like an x-ray machine, only unlike an x-ray machine, they're not looking at your bones. They can see all your physicalities under your clothes. They say it's for looking for weapons, but really it does give a profile of you. And they're not just in airports anymore. That's just one of the airports across the country that they're in. They've now put them in the New York City subways. And they have made people aware of this and said, hey, you know, tough luck. If you don't like it, get out of here. They let you know that they're there, but then they say you don't really have a choice. You've got to go through them. Yes, unfortunately. It's color of law. It's totally unconstitutional, totally against the Bill of Rights. But, yeah, the color of law, if you want to get on that plane, you've got to submit.
Right. I told the TSA girl, I was like, you know, you're infringing on my civil rights right here. And she goes, well, you know, don't you want to be safe? And I said, well, safety without freedom isn't any fun, is it? And she goes, well, you know, the government has kept us safe since 9/11. And at that
that's
point,
the big argument.
Because I am getting searched.
Well, it shows the brainwashing, man. It really does. It shows how they acclimate the public. I mean, the reason I always harp on 9/11 and I continue to discuss it and I, you know, made three films about it is because it is my generation's and really even the generation before me's catalyzing event that has really brought us into this super hyper police state, this super hyper tyranny that has come to the land of the free and the home of the brave and made us the land of the coward and the home of the slave. Go ahead, Sebastian.
Well, what they're doing in Miami now is I have a lot of friends that are older cops. I'm a younger guy. I'm only 30. But a lot of my neighbors and stuff like that are older cops in Miami. And they're getting rid of all the older cops, and they're hiring all kids. They're all the new cops that you see on the streets in Miami are all 21, 22, 23. And that's how they pull you over, harass you. I mean, it's nonstop. I've been pulled over illegally at least four or five times just because I live in a predominantly black neighborhood. I'm a white guy. And,
oh, what are you buying drugs, sir? Oh, are you here to buy crack? Oh, what are you doing in this neighborhood? Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I'm a Coast Guard licensed captain, dude. Get out of here, you know?
Well, unlike you and me, I mean, we were still...
This is how they manipulate us, because they get these young kids that are highly impressionable that have that want to go on power trips. And this is how they're going to lock us down. When the time comes, oh, the kids are going to take any order they give them.
And that's why they're indoctrinated. Listen, that's what City Year is about. That's what training the Boy Scouts to fight terror is about. It's just what you talked about. It's getting them while they're 12, 13, 14 years old. So when they're 18 and 21 and they can handle a gun, they're willing to take that gun and just hit you in the butt of the nose with it or whip out that taser. I got a 3-shot taser now. I'll take you all out real quick. That's how we roll here. We go right into your house. We accuse you of burglary and then we ask you to take pictures. We don't need a warrant. We don't need to knock. You left your patio door open. It wasn't locked. We're just coming in. The corruption has gotten out of control, and I agree with you 100%, Sebastian. Thank you so much for the call. Let's go to Aaron in Minnesota. Aaron, you're on the line.
Hey, Jason. How's it going?
All right.
Yeah, good to hear you. Say, I was just wondering if you could go a little bit more into how our president actually committed treason here, because I've read, Section 1, Article 1, Section 9, mm-hmm. and I'm just, I don't know, maybe it's all the fluoride and mercury that I
Well, basically,
ingesting.
The President of the United States should not be holding office in an international organization that has a conflict of interest with the United States' well-being and best interests. When you're the President of the United States, what are you doing heading up a Security Council that's about global governance? And what are you doing before you're the president going to Berlin, Germany, and giving out your globalist speech where you talk about global citizenship? No, we're a global humanity. We're not global citizens. We're not all part of the UN. What are you talking about? Why are you telling the populace that you're going to be required to do more, not less, and that international partnership and cooperation is the only way, and it will not be a choice? Last time I heard, Aaron, we were supposed to have democracy here, actually a constitutional republic based on what the people believe, checks and balances, and we shouldn't have to internationally cooperate with somebody who's evil, correct?
I believe so.
Yeah, but that's not what the UN Security Council does. So, of course, this guy's committing treason. I mean, he was treasonous when he got in. People are more apt to listen to him because we had such a rough time with Bush and the corruption there was so outwardly evil. We were looking for somebody who wasn't going to stammer in his speech, was going to be able to stand up straight, was going to be able to deliver an answer without looking evil. And, you know, I don't think Bush himself was really that evil. I think he was just a puppet for, you know, his dad and that part of the Anglo-American establishment. He read off a script. Personally, I don't think that George Bush knew anything about 9/11 prior to 9/11. I don't think he knew anything about it that morning. I think you need to dig a little deeper and you look at Cheney, and Cheney obviously had something going on where he had a little bit more than prior knowledge and may have not only allowed the attacks to happen but helped them occur in the PEOC, the Presidential Emergency Operating Center. People like Wolfowitz or Rumsfeld, they've been in the game a long time. You know, Bush was I think he was elected once to the governorship and then all of a sudden the governorship of Texas and then all of a sudden he's the president. And before that, he's the owner of the Texas Rangers. He doesn't know anything. Now, thank you for the call, Aaron. Let's jump to Chris in Connecticut. Chris, you're on the line.
Jason.
Yes, sir.
How's it going?
All right.
That is my first time calling. Been watching you for the last 3 hours.
Oh, cool.
It's interesting you have a Star Wars shirt on. I was talking to a guy today saying that it's pretty much what it is. It's, you know, the Empire and, you know, where the, you know, the rebels.
Yeah, no. You know what? I was talking to Jones about that today.
You know, we don't have powers.
Yeah, I wish I did have Jedi-like powers. It'd be so much cooler if I could just walk up to the TSA guy and say, you don't need to see my identification. I don't need to see his identification. And I could just walk on through. That would be boss. Or if I could use my mind powers to pull a lightsaber towards me and go off and have a duel against Darth Vader and the Emperor. But that's not reality. But, you know, the metaphors in those movies, not only the first three, which came out recently, but the originals, I think that's why they're so popular, because they really do tell that eternal story of good against evil, of oppression and tyranny being resisted by those who love freedom. And if you didn't get that message the first time around watching Star Wars, Empire Strikes Back, and The Return of the Jedi, I really encourage you to go take a second look. Anything else?
Yes, what I really called you about was today I noticed in the paper that there's 15.1 million people unemployed.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes quite the army, if you think about it.
That's true, but that's an army that's willing to... Well, here's the deal, Chris. You say that makes quite the army. I don't think that these people are, you know, mad enough. I don't think that they know who the enemy is. And unfortunately, these poor people that are losing their jobs, or they were middle class before and now they're going to be lower middle class, or they may have to go to the government for assistance for the first time, these are going to be the first ones to line up to the FEMA camp to get the medical treatment. Here in Austin, Texas, they tried to sell, and we played this on the show 2 or 3 months ago, they tried to sell that this woman was out of work as a realtor and the checks weren't coming in anymore and they had to give up the health insurance. It was a really tough choice, but that's okay because now we have mobile vans that are clinics. I mean, the clinics themselves weren't bad enough. Now we have mobile vans where you can go take your kids for treatment. So they'll be more apt to bow down to the government. If they don't know who the enemy is, unfortunately, I don't know if they know who to fight. I don't know if they're really a standing army. That's why it's our jobs to reach out to those people who are our friends, our family members, our cousins, our sons, our daughters, our parents, our grandparents, and say, hey, look what they're trying to do. Look at the cover of Newsweek, the case for killing Granny. That's what healthcare reform is about, and how it's a good thing to unplug the life support. I'm vomiting in my mouth. Chris, I thank you for the call. Let's go to Linda in California. Linda, you're on the line.
Hi, Jason.
Hello.
Hey, have you heard of Freeman?
I have heard. I've not only heard of Freeman, but we've had him on the Alex Jones Show, and I've talked to him behind the scenes and in studio, and I think a lot of his research is pretty good, but at the same time, I think a lot of it out there is over the top. Go ahead.
Okay. Well, I just was wondering when you brought up the Disney characters.
Well, you know, here's what I'll say about the Disney stuff, because, again, I think that some of that is over the top, but a lot of it does have a kernel of truth, and this is by no means me attacking Freeman. I'm all about freedom of speech. I'm all about different perspectives, and if people want to check his stuff out, you can check it out. It's the Freeman Perspective. Disney obviously is involved in mind control, government-sponsored mind control, for some time now. They openly, during World War II, made a pact with the government to put out propaganda films. Okay? Now, do I know that Britney Spears and Justin Timberlake are mind-controlled, Disney puppets? I don't know that. But I do know that they love to use popular media to control people. Back in the final segment after this, it's the Info Warrior.
I'm a one-man revolution. The time is nigh. The day is dark. There's only solution, 'cause I'm a one man, I'm a one man, I'm a one man revolution.
You can be a one man revolution out there. You can take power in this knowledge, take on the establishment, scream from the rooftops, make your own films, become the media. Start your own organization. Become a member of We Are Change. Join Campaign for Liberty. Run for city council. Get on the board of the PTA. So many things that you can do right now. Not tomorrow. Not a week from now. Not a month down the road. Today. Today. And the first step is to make that decision that I am going to do something productive. I am going to stand up against tyranny. I am going to combat evil. All right, we're going to go to a couple final callers. Folks, if you missed any of the program, another power-packed Info Warrior. You can get the podcast at theinfowarrior.com following the show. Go check it out. And, of course, everything will be posted on YouTube. If you have the PrisonPlanet.tv membership, you can watch all 3 hours, including all of my films, all Alex Jones's films, and so much more. All right, let's go to Hamza in Pennsylvania. You're on the line. Yes, sir. Quickly. We got the 5-4-3-2-1. You there, Hamzy? Just bailed. All right, Stephen Houston, final caller. Yes.
Yeah. Sir. Hey. Good evening, Jason. I want to say first of all, I was having a discussion with a friend of mine's husband on the phone a couple days ago. I was talking about the work you guys do, and I've sent these folks a lot of stuff, emailed them links to videos and stuff and a bunch of articles that are on there, and I was talking to him about Hardin City, Montana, and, you know, the torture that's being advocated through stuff like the Patriot Act. And this guy made a statement to me that really bothered me, and this is going to lead into what I'm saying. He said, well, I've got some relatives I wouldn't mind to see that happen to. And I said, you're kidding, right? I mean, you don't actually advocate torture for anybody. Oh, yeah, there's some... And then, you know, but the same guy, you know, he claims to be aware of stuff and, you know, well, you know, I'm just one person. I keep hearing this. And here's what I said to him. I said, look, the founding fathers of this country, they didn't have this passive attitude. And I said, you know, what do you call what you give a baby when you want him to be quiet and not fuss? A pacifier. I said, right. Every time people are lured to the tube, where they're distracted, where they're lured by, you know, neocons like Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Sean Hannity, they're being given a pacifier. And I said, the problem in America is we do not have that spirit that the founding fathers had. And I remember what Karras once said, the reason Washington and the troops beat the British is because they out-endured them. And here's what I said, I'm on the heels of what you just said. I don't care if I'm the only person in the world standing up for what's right and what's true and what's good. I am going to shout it from the housetops till they shoot me down or they take heed to what I'm saying, because I know what I'm standing for is right, because I've got the truth, and the truth is what makes people free. And, you know, like Alex said, they may get rid of me, but the truth is something that lives on. And that's, you know, I said to this guy, I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to be proactive. I'm going to call people. I'm going to send emails. I'm going to call senators and representatives, et cetera. I'm going to call talk shows and put out posters and do whatever I can. But I said, there's one guy in Austin, Texas, and this guy has had such influence from the 20 years ago when he started that he's been on CNN and Fox and USA Today and everything else. So don't tell me that one person can't make a difference. And I said, when they come to your door and they kick your door in and they're raping your wife in the next room, do you really want to see that happen? And he was very nonchalant. I said, you know, it's real easy about to be when you're in a calm mood and a right frame of mind to say what you're going to do. But I used to sell fire safety equipment, and we teach people about having a plan of escape in case the crisis came up. You have to basically get out of a house within 2 minutes of a burning house. That's about what you've got. And I said, if you're not preparing mentally and physically and in every other way, when this stuff comes upon you, trust me, you won't be ready for it. And especially if you have the passive attitude that you have, well, I'm just one person.
I'm with you, Steve. I'm with you so much. Damn straight, my man. We do have great power. We can take on tyranny again. Check out the podcast if you missed any of the program over at theinfowarrior.com.